ഓം അജ്ഞാനതി മിരാന്തസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജന ശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീ ഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യ മനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരോ ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാന് സഹഗണലളിതം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാ സിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യയേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. So in the sixth chapter, Krishna is saying, Yoginam abhi sarvesham adghaden andaratmanam shraddhavan bhajade yomam same yukta tamomada. That is how the sixth chapter finishes, isn't it? So there, as an introduction to the seventh chapter, Krishna says, among all the yogis, madgaden andaratmana, one who is keeping Krishna in the heart, he is the greatest. Yoginam abhi sarvesham, among all the yogis, Krishna says, one who is always thinking about Krishna, which means self-realization, in other words, or about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Either way, it doesn't matter. Devotee will remember Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jnani will remember as the soul within the heart of everyone. So, Yoginam abhi sarvesham madgaden andaratmana shraddhavan bhajade yomam. One who has Shraddha, Krishna says. Shraddha is given the importance there more than anything else. Shraddhavan bhajade yomam. That Shraddha is the most valuable thing in the spiritual life. Because Shraddhavan bhajade yomam same yukta tamo mada. He is the best, Krishna is saying there. After saying that, immediately in the seventh chapter beginning, Krishna begins, Maya asakta. Maya asakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya. Asamshayam samagramam yatha jnasyasi tachrunu. Krishna uses those words, mayi asakta manapata, attachment to Krishna. Without that, no spiritual life will work. Independently, you can't execute spiritual life. That is the principle. Independent of Krishna, if somebody wants to think that they will do it and get the result, it won't happen. That's why Krishna says, we talked about that yesterday also, that asakti, attachment to Krishna, is the important factor there. Attachment to Krishna means what? Attachment to the soul. Attachment to the soul. Krishna's presence in everyone's heart. We refer to that as Antaryami. You see, one who is present within everyone. Antaryami. So, my asakta manapartha, Krishna says, as long as there is attachment to spiritual life, Krishna consciousness in other words, if it is there, then yogam, yogam will work, yogam yunjan. And what else? And there's another condition Krishna has put forward, madashraya, always dependent on Krishna. Two things, one side, maya asakta manapartha, other side, madashraya, in between yogam yunjan. Execute the yoga process. So that's what we were talking about yesterday. So, so this situation we mentioned yesterday also, that independently a sadhana is not independent. It's not independent. We have always this misunderstanding that I am doing my sadhana, you are doing your sadhana. Sadhana is not independent. Sadhana is an activity which happens through us. When the surrender is there, that is proper sadhana. When one is surrendered to Krishna, the condition, the soul, the living entity who has surrendered to Krishna, through him, Krishna's activity begins. That is sadhana. When Krishna starts activity through a personality, through any individual, that is sadhana. So that sadhana, what is mentioned here, is that Krishna is carrying out everything. Krishna is carrying out everything. How to execute dhyanam, how to execute meditation, how to execute the other activities in spiritual life, all controlled by Krishna. So, maya asakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. Depending on me, execute spiritual life. That is Krishna's first point. So, in other words, this power of Antaryami. Antaryami means Krishna's presence inside as the super soul, power of Antaryami, is important because all the instruction will come as intuition. That is how that instruction comes from Krishna. It comes as intuition. So sometimes we think that Krishna has not instructed me anything. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there that Vedavyasa Maharshi, before he compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, he has little disturbed thoughts in his mind, that I have done everything but nothing has happened. But then intuition came before Sri Narada Maharshi came that I have not discussed about Krishna sufficiently. And that is how I should talk about Krishna, and Bhagavatam came from that. But prior to Sri Narada Maharshi's arrival on the scene, Vedavyasa Maharshi thought about this and instruction came from within that you have not spoken about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. This is Vedavyasa is already aware of that. It is after that Narada Maharshi comes and tells him that you have not spoken about Krishna. So you can see there, of course, they are those who are more andarmukham, those who are more inward-looking nature, they get that contact with the super soul very quickly than compared to others. We have lost that contact with super soul because we have learned so many other languages to talk to. All other languages, whatever it is, we have learned all other languages, but this particular language of Antaryami, we have lost it. Antaryami, we have lost it. It's there in everyone. It is not that it's only in Vedavyas, it's present in everybody. And spiritual life, all the great devotees, jnanis, they will confirm this, that how in their own spiritual life at different times, how they were instructed from within. It is their instructions more important than any other instructions in this world. Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada Pratyakshenanumanabhyam Shreyasamanuvindade. Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna is saying there, Atmano Guru Atmaiva Arjuna, Uddhava, that is how I have created the living entity. My presence inside is always there to guide him further in his spiritual life. If you look into any sadhana, whatever you perform, pranayamam or bhakti process or deity worship, whatever it may be, how to execute that process is instruction is from Krishna inside. How to perform, how to chant the holy name, how to perform meditation, everything will come from inside. In spiritual life, we are not alone. We are not alone. That's the first thing to remember. We are not alone in spiritual life. Along with us, Krishna is always with us. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look into Puranjana Vakhyanam, that means the story of Puranjana in the fourth canto, at the very end of that, if you remember that story, at the very end of that, there is what is referred to as Avijnada Sakhava. Avijnada Sakhava means an unknown friend comes there. See, friend of Puranjana. And some strange language is spoken there. It looks very difficult to understand. That suddenly comes and says to her that, are we not friends since a long time? You have forgotten me. And saying that the both of them took the two birds form and they flew back to the Manasa Sarasa. It says like that in the Bhagavatam. What it means is that when the individual soul realizes that the super soul is with him, Krishna is always with us to tell us what to do and what not to do, and that realization comes at his das to two birds, what is spoken in the Puranjana Vakyana. In Puranjana's story, he is referred to as Avijnada Sakhava. Avijnada Sakhava means unknown friend. He is not known, but he is your friend. He is always with you, but you don't know him. That is that super soul. So, there we are discussing, Mai Asakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashrayaha. That execute the yogam in that way. How? Mai Vakshyamana Visheshena Parameshwara Asaktam. Always attached to Krishna. Otherwise, it is not possible to execute spiritual life. Independently, we can't perform spiritual life. So, independent nature in us. I am separate, Krishna is separately somewhere in the temple. I am individually doing on my own things. It doesn't happen like that. So, Yogam Yunjan Madashrayam Parameshwara Asaktam. Attached to Krishna always. That is important. Parameshwara Asaktam. And Mano Yasyasa Mai Asakta Mana. Hey Partha. Arjuna, it is Mai Asakta Mana is very important. This Bhashyam says like this. Mai Asakta Mana Parameshwara to the Supreme Personality. Yogam Yunjan Mana Samadhanam Kurvan. If you execute yogam in that way, Mana Samadhanam Kurvan. The mind will be peaceful with the inside. Mad ashrayoham eva parameshwara ashrayo yasyasa mad ashrayaha. Accepting Krishna's association and taking Krishna's shelter eva parameshwara ashrayo. Parameshwara ashrayo means Krishna shelter. Yasyasa mad ashrayaha. That is my mad ashrayo. Mad ashrayo means parameshwara ashrayo. Krishna's ashrayam. In other words, yohi, example, yohi kashchil purusharthena kenajil arthi bhavadi. Suppose you want any other happiness in life, for example, purushartha means dharmam, artham, kamam. They are all purushartham, isn't it? When you want all this purushartham, the Vedic understanding is that you have to perform certain sacrifices for that. Sacrifices. Like you see here, tat sadhananam karmani, karmani agnihotradi. Agnihotram is one of them. That for brahmanas, agnihotram is important. Agnihotram and other activities which they have to perform, other yajnam sacrifices, what they have to do, tapas, penances, dhanam, charity. Kimchid ashrayam pradivadyade. You are taking the shelter of all those things, agnihotradi, dhanam, charity, tapas, austerities, all that, in order to achieve the other purushartham. Which one? Dharmam, artham, kamam. So there you are taking the ashrayam or shelter of those things. But in the case of you want to release yourself from this material existence once for all, to come out of this material body, the ashrayam is Krishna. Ashrayam is Krishna. Tapodhanam va kinchit ashrayam pradivadyade. I am to yogi mam eva ashrayam pradivadyade. But yogis who are looking for self-realization, they take my shelter, Krishna is saying. Yogi mam ashrayam pradivadyade. In fact, if we look into all the shastrams also, you will see, among all the shastrams in the Vedic science, except Brahmavidya, the knowledge of self-realization, everything else is imperfect. Everything else is not perfect. For example, if you take astrology, astrology is not 100% correct. You can always say like that also, because sometimes it's correct, sometimes it's not. You can say 50% right and 50% wrong. That's how astrology is. So all other sciences is imperfect except Brahmavidya. Spiritual knowledge and self-realization, that science is perfect. Because it is only that science you can authoritatively say the result is perfect. The result that comes from that. So that is why hito anya sadhana anandaram mayeva asakta mana bhavati. And in some cases, after executing sadhana, mayeva asakta manabhavati. Attachment, the mind attachment develops towards Krishna by executing sadhana. By executing sadhana. Yastvam eva bhuda sam asamshayam samagram samastam vibhuti. All other things, samastha vibhuti, all other kinds of balam, aishwaryam, strength, opulences, and all those things, aishwaryadi gunasampannam. Mam yatha yena prakarena nyasyasi samshayam. That when, how do we understand that we are taking Krishna shelter? That is what is going to be spoken about. Mai asakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagram mam yatha nyasyasi tachrunam. So, this Atmano, when we talked about that the spiritual master is present inside the heart, Atmano Guru Atmaiva, but because he is speaking from inside and we have not given attention to that, Krishna is saying here due to our own ignorance. That's why Atmano Guru Atmaiva Purushasya Visheshada, directly and indirectly he is instructing us from inside. And because we have become so external, our attention has gone away from inside to the world to a large extent, we do not hear that words coming from inside. And he is always talking, he is always an eternal communication going on from inside, and uninterrupted it is happening. But we are not understanding that it is happening from inside due to our identification with the body and losing that understanding of the spiritual nature. So, inside, constantly the instruction is coming, but we are not giving attention to that. One disciple lived with the spiritual master for a year, and he said to him, the spiritual master never spoke to him for 1 year. He didn't speak to him. So, disciple asked him, why you are not giving me any instructions? So, spiritual master told him, Tu mahakhalutvam vijanasi. I am instructing you continuously, but you are not taking it. What can I do? He says. So, we always think that instructions means it's directly always instructed through the mouth, isn't it? Through the mouth. But this instruction of the spiritual master from inside is one we have to learn to recognize. This is a symptom of a person who has started looking inwards. He will know from inside what is the right thing to do. So, so he says, as Andaryami. Andaryami principle is very important. In the Bhagavadam also you will see this. That at point, whatever you fall in that stream of awareness, as soon as you become awareness of the presence of Andaryami inside, and we learn to communicate with Krishna from within, then spiritual life goes a lot better. So, that's why it says, how that Andaryami principle works. That's what Krishna is saying. In many devotees, if you ask, who have gone higher in spiritual life, they'll tell you from their own experience how it has happened in many instances. In many, many instances. Without anybody interfering in their life, they've grown. They've grown in spiritual life. We think that by studying Bhagavad Gita, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, it will happen. There are many people without even taking into Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, simply by this Andaryami principle, they have gone in higher in the spiritual life. Later on, after their realization, whenever people had doubts in Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, they spoke to them and they gave the answer because of the realization. They had the answer sometimes when they required clarity from Upanishads or Brahma Sutram, wherever they had problems, when they wanted to clarify, they asked those people who have not studied Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavad, but the answer was coming from them. Answer was coming from them. This is how spiritual life is. It is so subtle a science. Then, so in many instances, Krishna says here that asamshayam samagramam, that the dependence on Krishna, that madashrayam brings this andaryami better. That is what happens. When we depend on Krishna, andaryami starts speaking. When we are not dependent on Krishna, andaryami won't speak to us. Andaryami keeps quiet at that time. సో కృష్ణ సైజ్ అన్యాశ్రయాణం త్యాగ అనన్యత అన్యాశ్రయాణం త్యాగ వాట్ డస్ ఇట్ మీన్ డిపెండెన్స్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ మీన్స్ మదాశ్రయ దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ స్పోకన్ వాట్ మీన్స్ దట్ అన్యాశ్రయాణం త్యాగ గివింగ్ అవర్ డిపెండెన్స్ ఆన్ అదర్స్ అనన్యత త్యాగ అనన్యత అన్యాశ్రయాణం అనన్యత త్యాగ ఆల్ డిపెండెన్స్ ఆన్ అదర్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ టు గివ్ ఇట్ అప్ అనన్యత త్యాగ అన్యాశ్రయాణం అండ్ డిపెండెన్స్ ఆన్ అదర్స్ వన్స్ దాట్స్ గివెన్ అప్ దాట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఇట్ మీన్స్ డిపెండెన్స్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ మీన్స్ సో ద క్వశ్చన్ విల్ కమ్ ఓన్లీ ఇఫ్ ఐ సీ కృష్ణ ఐ కెన్ డిపెండ్ ఆన్ హిమ్ ఇస్ ఇన్ అదర్వైజ్ హౌ విల్ ఐ డిపెండ్ ఆన్ హిమ్ సో వాట్ ఉపనిషత్స్ ఆర్ సేయింగ్ ఈస్ అస్ లాంగ్ అస్ యూ డోంట్ డిపెండ్ ఆన్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ యూఆర్ డిపెండింగ్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ దాట్ ఈస్ ద ప్రిన్సిపల్ సి అవర్ ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఈస్ వీ హ్యావ్ పుట్ ఆల్ అవర్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ది అదర్ థింగ్స్ హియర్ వీ నెవర్ పుట్ ఎనీ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ కృష్ణ ఈస్ సేయింగ్ ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ పుట్ యువర్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఎల్స్ ఇట్స్ గుడ్ సఫిషియంట్ దట్ మీన్స్ యూఆర్ డిపెండింగ్ ఆన్ మీ దట్ ఈస్ ది అండర్లయింగ్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ బిహైండ్ ఇట్ అవర్ ప్రాబ్లమ్ ఈస్ వీ హ్యావ్ పుట్ ఆల్ ద ఫెయిత్ వట్ ఎవర్ ఫెయిత్ వీ హ్యావ్ ఇట్స్ ఆల్ డిస్ట్రిబ్యూటెడ్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్ ఇన్ ద ఫ్యామిలీ ఫ్రెండ్స్ సొసైటీ మనీ ప్రాపర్టీ షేర్స్ వట్ ఎవర్ దట్ ఈస్ సో వెర్ ఎవర్ దీస్ డిపెండెన్స్ ఈస్ దేర్ కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ మీన్స్ యూఆర్ నాట్ డిపెండెంట్ ఆన్ మీ సో అన్యాశ్రయాణం త్యాగ అనన్యత దట్ అన్యాశ్రయాణం డిపెండ్ కంప్లీట్లీ రియలైజింగ్ దట్ యూ కెనాట్ డిపెండ్ ఆన్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఈజ్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఈజ్ డిపెండెన్స్ ఆన్ కృష్ణ దట్ విల్ కమ్ ఇన్ ది న్యాచురల్ వే సో హౌ డు వీ నో బికాస్ ఇఫ్ యూ లుక్ ఇన్ టు దట్ కంప్లీట్ ట్రస్ట్ దట్ ఈస్ వాట్ కృష్ణ కాల్స్ హియర్ అ శ్రద్ధ దట్ శ్రద్ధ ఇన్ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ ఈజ్ రెఫరింగ్ టు దాట్ మయ్యాసక్త మనపార్థ యోగం యుంజన్ మదాశ్రయ అసంశయం సమగ్రమం యథాజ్ఞాసిచి తక్షరణం అండ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ వర్డ్స్ ఇన్ ద సిక్స్త్ చాప్టర్ కృష్ణ సైజ్ శ్రద్ధావాన్ లభతే జ్ఞానం ఇసన్ ఇట్ యోగినామపి సర్వేషాం మద్గదేన అంధరాత్మనాం శ్రద్ధావాన్ భజదే యోమాం సమయయుక్త తమో మద దట్ శ్రద్ధావాన్ ఈస్ దాట్ పర్సన్ హూ హ్యాస్ లాస్ట్ ఫెయిత్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ హూ హ్యాస్ కంప్లీట్లీ గివెన్ అప్ ఆల్ డిపెండెన్స్ ఆన్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ దాట్ ఈస్ సఫిషియంట్ కృష్ణ సైజ్ దెన్ యు ఆర్ అ యోగి దెన్ యు ఆర్ ఎ యోగి సో బ్రేకింగ్ దిస్ అటాచ్మెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టు అవర్ మెటీరియల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ ఆల్ అవర్ మెటీరియల్ షెల్టర్ వాట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టేకన్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ వన్స్ దాట్ ఈస్ గివన్ కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ ఈస్ మదాశ్రయ వన్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇన్ ద భాగవతం ధ్రువ మహారాజ్ వెంట్ టు ద ఫారెస్ట్ టు పర్ఫార్మ్ పెనెన్సెస్ ఇన్ ఇట్ సో వెన్ హీ లెఫ్ట్ హోమ్ హీ డిడ్ంట్ నో హూ వాస్ గోయింగ్ టు టేక్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ హిమ్ ధ్రువ డిడ్ంట్ నో ఎనీథింగ్ అబౌట్ ఇట్ అండ్ హౌ హూ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు షో హిమ్ ద వే And Narada Maharshi came on the spot at that time to help Dhruva. 5-year-old, he left home. And where did Narada come from? Where did Narada come at that time? Of course, Krishna is saying that if you also leave home and walk away, you will see that somebody is coming there at that time. But we don't have that faith in Krishna's. So, Anyashrayanam, that is what? Anyashrayanam Tyagaha Anyadaha. That as long as we have faith in all these things, it is difficult to be adashrayam to happen. Yoga means depending on Krishna's ashrayam development, depending on that is yogam. So yogam means sadhana pranayamadi. That's not only the yogam. Any kind of spiritual practice, Krishna reveals, whether it is bhakti or jnanam or any kind of sadhana, in whatever way it is. So there is a guidance who is there, or a power inside to guide us through that. There is a power present within us. Example, while we were in the womb of the mother, while we were in the womb of the mother, who arranged the food for us at that time? And when who protected us at that time while suffering in that situation? And when we came out from that, who arranged our survival in this world? He is not dead. That force is still working in this world. It has not gone away. It didn't say that my responsibility is finished, now you are out of the womb and now you go and do your own things. No. The very power which protected us while we were in the womb of the mother and when we came out of the womb, who protected us and provided us and brought us up, that power which everybody has experienced, nobody can deny that, isn't it? So that power is still operating in this world. Only thing is, what happened was we declared independence straight away. If you remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Kapila Vasudev says to the Avahuti Devi about when the living entity comes out of the womb and starts growing, at a certain stage he feels saha dehabhimanena, dehabhimanam builds up inside. Bodily identity gets very strong. And then he says, I am independent of you. We declare to Krishna, I have nothing to do with you. We completely forgets everything what he has done for us at that stage. Everything what Krishna has done for us, up to that point, we forget it and we declare our independence. And that independence goes throughout the life after that. And then that means, and then engage in all the sinful activities and the reactions from that. So that power who protected us inside the womb of the mother, and when we came out of the womb, who protected us, that power is still continued to protect us as long as we are dependent on that power. But because we are not dependent, at that time we were helpless when we came out, isn't it? So we cried, all of us cried. We didn't smile when we came out first. We all cried at that time. And we didn't know that nobody, somebody was going to come and give us any help. In that distressful state, we cried. And in that cry, Krishna helped. Otherwise, this wouldn't have happened. So, always that protection is there. We have to have that faith. You can't explain it better than that. Because of the protection we received at that time from Krishna, nobody else could protect us also at that time. And many devotees have their experiences in life who are dependent on Krishna like this. There are so many instances you will hear from different devotees that they are talking about their experiences in spiritual life. One devotee was going to visit a great sage in an ashram. He talks about that. He wanted to go, but he didn't have money to travel. This is way back, about 100 years ago, this incident happened. That he mentions this in his own spiritual life. He mentions this once, that he didn't have money, he wanted to travel. He heard about a great devotee. He wanted to go and visit him. He didn't have the money. So in the night when he was sleeping, in his dreams, Krishna gave him a hint that if you wake up in the morning, go out of the house, you will see underneath the tree money lying there. We went and picked up a little cash. When he woke up in the morning, he saw some cash lying at the bottom of the tree. That was just sufficient to pay for the ticket, rail ticket. When dependence on Krishna, Krishna won't give you a lot. What is necessary, Krishna will give. That's how Krishna is. And then he says that he took the money, went to the station and bought the ticket to that particular station, which was closer to the place where this devotee lived. So he traveled by train, got there. And there was very little money left after paying for the ticket. And he was hungry. So what he did, he went and purchased fruits with that little cash left. And he ate because he was so hungry. And then from there, he had to get a bus to the ashram of the devotee. He had to travel by bus. But because it was quite a long distance and he didn't have any money, he just stood there in the railway platform after eating these fruits. And he kept looking. Suddenly, on the railway track, there was some cash lying there. Somebody has locked it there. So he mentions this. Why? He says, I didn't get a lot of money, but enough to get through to the place where I wanted to. That money was just sufficient for the bus fare to get there. He mentions this later. He became also, later on, all these people who have gone through all these experiences in life, if you see that they had gone through hard times in their spiritual life, that there was never any time surplus. It was always hand to mouth, living in a very, very difficult state. They continued their spiritual life. It's not that always sumptuous prasadam and feasts and every time it's a glorious life. No, all their spiritual life, they went through these hard times. But what was the important thing? Madha Ashraya, dependence on Krishna. That is what has created that consciousness. That they were not, many times you will see many, many people in the ashrams when you go and look, they're very, very poor people. Very poor. Because in their material life, they have not given importance to it. They gave importance to spiritual life, didn't give importance to material life. So therefore, in ashram, when they take some photos of the inmates of the ashram, you will see most of them are wearing very simple clothes. And many of them had various kinds of physical problems, illnesses and all that. In spite of that, tolerating everything, all physical inconveniences and material situations and still sticking together to make progress in spiritual life. This is Madhashram. Madhashram is like that. You will see many, many old ashrams. If you look, go and look their old photographs, you will see this particularly. That they live so frugal. Frugally they maintain their body with very simple food habits, simple sleeping habits, and simple, they have developed that nature. Why? Yogam yunjan madashraya, madashrayam. That is dependence on Krishna. And therefore, when somebody is dependent like that, Krishna says, his spiritual life becomes a lot easier. Spiritual life becomes a lot easier. So, that is how spiritual life goes on in this world. It's not that all 5-star facilities are arranged for us when we go to an ashram, that only if it is there we can take to spiritual life. So Krishna is saying here, this yogam yunjan madashraya is in that state. So so if you look into Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, he will say, mentions there, it is there in the Bhagavatam also, Rekshishe, Rekshishe iti vishwasaha. That always faith that Krishna will protect me. Krishna will not put me into trouble. Rakshishe iti vishwasaha. That vishwasam, that faith, that Krishna is protecting us. So, in Ramayanam you will see there, Ramchandra says to Lakshmana also, that what does this vishwasam mean? It is not the faith like we have in the ghosts or in the... it's not that kind of faith what Krishna is talking about here. So, because this is a reality, this faith in Krishna and Krishna's protection is a reality. It's a reality in the sense that it constantly happening in the material nature. And noticing that in the material nature is important. Many of the... how did devotees come to this realization? They observed the nature, and in the nature alone they saw this, that all other living entities are protected by Krishna. Why we alone feel we are not protected? All the birds, bees, they are all living in this world very harmoniously because they are under Krishna's shelter. Krishna is looking after them. As in when it is required, their food is provided, shelter is provided, and they live in this world. Only human society we feel this independence of Krishna. Krishna is saying here that Maya Asakta Manaha Partha Yogam Yunjan. Execute this yoga process with asakti, attachment, and madashrayaha, always dependent on me. So, always dependence on Krishna, and that's what it says here. madashrayaha, my vakshyamanam visheshane parameshwara asaktam. Especially parameshwara asaktam. Parameshwara asaktam means attachment to Krishna. Asakta mano yasya sa mai asakta manaha he partha. Attachment to me all the time, and mai asakta manaha he partha yogam yunjan. You should execute the yogam only if that attachment is there. Only then it will work properly. It will work properly. Manasamadhanam kurvan mada ashrayoham eva parameshwara ashrayo yasya sa mada ashrayaha. Yohi kashchil purushartena kenachil. So, here, the thing mentions here, that my vachyamana visheshana parameshwara asaktam manam. So, whatever is going to be spoken from now on, is easy to understand, because anyone who wants to achieve something in material life, he also has to execute some sadhana for that, isn't it? But his sadhana is a different nature. That's also sadhana. Sadhana basically means that anything you do to achieve something. Sadhana is there, sadhyam is there. Sadhyam is the result. Sadhana is your effort in that direction. That is sadhana. We say sadhana in spiritual life because there is a goal after that. Similarly, in material life also, we have to execute sadhana. So different kind of sadhana. What's a sadhana? For example, If you want to make a lot of money as a businessman, you have to be always absorbed in that, how to make that money, and that effort is required in that way. A student who wants to do well in the examinations, he has to execute the sadhana of studying all the time, isn't it? He has to study, work hard to get the result from that. So sadhana has to be performed. Karmam is necessary to have the results to get from. In fact, all our education is centered around that, isn't it? So, people also say that, what should I study so that I can make a lot of money from that? This is how the education is at the moment. That all over the world, people give importance to education wherever they could make more profitable wealth from that. So, for such persons, he will when he achieves something in life, whatever it may be, in the process of this education, they come out with some qualifications to make money. That is a goal which is defined there. And such a person, why is he studying? He's only studying to make money, isn't it? That's the goal behind it, or prestige, or whatever we call it. But all that education is directed towards wealth, directed towards money making. So similarly, if everything, spiritual life also becomes the same way, simply becomes a goal of making money, then all the goal is gone. The goal is lost in that process. So to slip or to come out of the track of spiritual life is very easy. It's very easy to come out of the track of spiritual life. Because as soon as the goal changes, the whole thing changes. This is what happens in spiritual life, particularly. This is what anything when it is not directed. That is why Krishna is giving a lot of stress on the goal more than the process. Because of this, the moment the goal changes, the whole thing derails. Everything changes then. Means the goal changes. Therefore, you can see why Krishna is saying goal is important. Keeps insisting on that. You see, remember in the second chapter also. Vyavasaya almiya buddhi egeha kurunandana, Krishna says. For him there is only one goal. What is that? To realize the truth, to realize the self, self-realization. So if that goal is not there, without that goal, whatever we are executing in spiritual life, it won't get you there. It won't get you there. And this always happens in people's life. Many, many people have spoken about that. Sometimes they say, I was very sincere when I started Krishna consciousness. I came to Krishna consciousness, very sincerely I started. And then I joined the organization. But after a while, the organization started deciding what the goal is. And you started going along with the organization. The goal has changed. And he has forgotten that the goal has changed. He forgets that. This is what happens. You come to spiritual life with Krishna consciousness's goal. And then after a while, what happens is the institution decides certain things. And then you go along with the institution for some time. And for a long period of time, you didn't realize that what you were doing. And they created so many things. And then at some point in time, much later in life, they were thinking, what did we achieve in the spiritual life? So many years we have been going around. And when you join the institution, because the institution will insist, that these things are necessary, we have to do this. Somebody will tell these things, and due to the circumstances, and they realize that at some point, they came to understand that it is not possible to realize the self. They came to that conclusion. The very people who started their spiritual life thinking that the goal is that I want to finish up my life in this life itself, self-realization must happen here. They came to the moment with that understanding of spiritual life. But after a while, they went along with the institution for a long period of time. And then at some point, they started seeing that nothing is happening in life. That I am where I am, where I started from. And noticeably, also, it was too late by then to get that strength back into spiritual life again. So many years have gone. And then they decided it is not possible to have any self-realization. It's not possible. They came to the conclusion. It's not possible. Now let me finish my life like this, rest of the period in this way. This has happened. So many instances this is there. So so then they start saying self-realization, Krishna consciousness, bhakti, jnanam, all this is not possible. They come to conclusions like that at the end. Because this is what he says here. So, by now, the goal has gone. The goal has left. So, he says here, if you have a goal in material life, if you have any goal in material life, accordingly, you will have to execute certain activities in this world, isn't it? For example, if you want to become an engineer or a doctor or a specialist in any field, you have to have that education, and that is a tapasya, that is a sadhana on your own, isn't it? Its own. Similarly, in spiritual life also, whatever sadhana, but there the goal is very clear. When it comes to material life, you are very sure that this is what I want to be. I'm studying for that purpose. And you will never forget that goal, isn't it? You'll continue. You can't take the way. What we do in spiritual life is we forget the goal and we pass the day after day, thinking that I'm making progress in spiritual life. But material life, it's not like that. The goal is very clear. After 5 years, I want to be an engineer or a doctor or whatever we want to be. So we study on that understanding every year. I'll make sure that I've gone through that different examinations every year and get over to the next stage or next stage after that. So by 5 years, I want to come out with that degree and ready to earn money or whatever we want to do. So there the goal is clear. In the same way, in spiritual life also, if the goal is not there, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So that's what he's saying here, that those who have, of course, in the Vedic times, there was no engineering, doctor, medicine and all that. They were more concerned about the going to heavenly planets and enjoying life there. So if they have to go there, they have to perform Agnihotram and so many others and all the karma involved in that, charity, whatever it is that. But Krishna is saying here, a first-class devotee, he will not depend on any technique or any method. That is important. This technique, methods, tactics and all won't work in spiritual life. That's first thing we have to leave. There only one thing works. What's that? Madha Ashraya. That's the only thing that will help in the spiritual life. That's why Krishna is saying all these things. Because generally we have that background from the karma world. We think that we have used all our intelligence and brain, everything in spiritual life, in material life, to achieve what we want. And same mind won't leave us when we come to spiritual life also. So there also we start imposing those concepts into it and start using techniques and methods, various ways how to make progress in spiritual life. Krishna is saying, do not do that. Don't use tactics and techniques and methods and all inventing new processes of our own. There's only one process, that is Madhashraya. That's all. Maya Sakta Manapartha Yogam Yunjan Madhashraya. Dependence on Krishna. There is no other process for spiritual realization. Mameva Ashrayaha. There, his goal and this guidance, his knowledge and the book, everything is Krishna. Absolute refuge, in other words. Why Krishna is saying here, Mam? What does this Mam means? Yogam Yunjan Mada Ashraya. Asamshayam Samagram Mam. If you look into the words, you will see that Maya Asakta Manapartha Yogam Yunjan Mada Ashraya. Asamshayam Samagram Mam. The word use Mam there. What does that Mam means? That Asamshayam Samagram Mam Yathatya Sasi Tachrunu. That Mam has a big meaning there. And Mam. It's not because we don't know Krishna yet, isn't it? We haven't seen Krishna. We want to understand Krishna. So therefore, whenever Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, that it has a lot broader message to get through. It says here that hit anyat sadhana anandaram mayeva asakta manabhavadi yastvam eva bhudasan asamshayam samagram samastam vibhudi bela shakti aishwaryadi gunasampannam mam yatha yena prakarena jnasyasi samshayam andareneivam eva bhagavan iti tal shrunu uchyamanam maya. He says here, with all these Aishwaryam Gunasambannam. He says, Bala Shakti Aishwaryadi Gunasambannam. Samasta Vibhudi Bala Shakti Aishwaryadi Gunasambannam. That means Krishna's presence in this world is through various forces working here in this world. Means that if you open and look at the material nature, you can see there whatever forces are acting in the material nature, all those forces, the very root of that, Moola Prakriti, calls in the Bhagavatam as Moola Prakriti. That Moola Prakriti is a reflection of Krishna. It's a reflection of Krishna. Material nature, what we see in this world, is nothing but a reflection of Krishna in this world, isn't it? That, that Krishna is the original form, and that Krishna's reflection is this material nature. Material nature, everything is functioning very, very systematically. That forces, for example, seasons changing, and breathing air is doing its part in the creation. The whole creation is functioning in a very coordinated way, in a very harmonious way, due to material nature's arrangement. And this material nature is nothing but a reflection of Krishna. Krishna's energy is working through the material nature, and if you observe that, Krishna is saying here that you will see me very easily, you will recognize me, what's going on in this creation. The flow of air, the sun shining, the moon shining, and vegetables growing, the food supply, everything is happening in this world for the living entity's survival. So all of them are happening due to the forces in the nature, isn't it? The food is growing. How can we get the food? Because the food is growing due to the arrangement of the nature. Nature provides us the food. Similarly, the seasons all control, the temperatures are controlled, the rain, the rain is controlled, sunshine is controlled, everything is controlled. And this arrangement in the material nature is nothing but a reflection of Krishna's reflection, that is, Krishna's energy behind, reflecting that in the material nature, that's what is keeping going in that way. So Krishna says here, Samasta Shakti Aishwaryadi Balam Ishwaram. Then Ishwara means controller, isn't it? Ishwara means controller. So all the forces in the material nature, what is being controlled is Krishna. So Krishna's presence you have to observe in that way, that he is controlling all these things. Very powerfully controller he is. So that Ishwara's presence one should take into notice. Only if you take into notice, then you can see that that force is available for our protection also. That force is, that's why it says here, Hit anyad sadhana anandaram mayeva asakta manabhavadi yastvam eva bhudasan asamshayam samagram samasta vibhudi bela shakti aishwaryadi gunasampannam. Belam, strength, Shakti, force, and Aishwaryam. Aishwaryam, these opulences, guna sampannam, all these qualities in this creation, mam yadha yena pragarena nyasisi. If you understand somehow or the other, that is all coming from Krishna. Samshayam andarena ivam eva bhagavan iti. It is behind that is Krishna. So if we have that understanding, Krishna says, you will get the understanding of the help from Andaryami also. Bhagavad Gita is trying to tell us that observe the nature and see how the nature is functioning. And if you look at the nature, you can see everything is nature is functioning under some control direction. Nobody can deny that. Even scientists will agree with that. They have not found out who is behind it. That's another thing. But they agree on one thing, how this whole manifestation is going on like this, planets rotating in their orbits without hitting each other, and sun rising, sunset, and maintaining the environment favorable for living entities to live in this world with all different kinds of material bodies, made of material elements, different kinds of bodies, different forms, in different consciousness. All these living entities are able to survive in this environment, and Krishna is maintaining that environment in such a way that everybody can live here, isn't it? That is that forces, nature forces, forces of nature. And these forces of nature, Krishna is saying, Mom, it's me. It's me. Krishna's Ishwara form or controlling nature is manifesting through that. This manifestation of material world or the creation, what we are perceiving through our senses, is maintained by that Ishwara aspect of Krishna, controlling aspect of Krishna. So observing that, we should know that the person from whom all these forces are coming, he is the origin, and this is the reflection of those personality, that personality of Krishna. That's what it says here. So perfect, because it is like that, how come in spiritual life alone no guidance will come? That is Krishna's question to us. If you understand that, the guidance is there in everything else, in maintaining the body, in living in this world, there is help coming from Krishna. Without Krishna's help, it will not go. So that very force, which is supplying everything for our maintenance of this body in this world, how come we have come to this conclusion that in spiritual life alone, no help will come? Whereas all the jnanis, great devotees, the more they realize that the help is only coming from that source. Krishna is the source of all the help. Even spiritual master and everything we say, we give him one spiritual master. But even ultimately, who arranged the spiritual master to come? This is also the question we have to ask, isn't it? That is what that verse is. Almano guru almaiva purushasya visheshada pratyakshena anumanabhyam shreyasam anuvindade. For our shreyas, our benefit, Krishna has set up everything properly. Only thing, we have lost it. We lost it. Krishna didn't lose it. We lost that connection with Krishna. That is why it says here. So that therefore Krishna says, Mame Deheyam, that Asamshayam Samagram Mam. Asamshayam. Without any doubt, Samagram, incompletely, you accept me as the shelter. Yadha Jnasyasi Tachrunu. Arjuna, here now about this science. Come to know about this. I'm going to talk to you about that, Krishna says, and hear from me that science, how it happens. This Jnana Vijnana Yogam, Krishna is teaching us through this chapter, the knowledge is already there in the Prakriti. Material nature, the knowledge is there. But what we have lost is that Vijnanam. Vijnanam, we have lost it. That this science of Antaryami, connecting with Krishna, who is within the heart, and hearing from him that message, that deep level absorption in Krishna, and knowing that this is what Krishna wants me to do, that science we have lost. We have become very gross and external. So therefore we need all the books, all the CDs and cassettes and websites, everything we need because of this. If this was there, we don't need any of. In the past, do you think they executed better spiritual life than today without all these things? Why is that? Because this Antaryami principle was known to them. They were not distracted by any of these things. Now this has become, we think that with all this we can make it. But what Krishna is saying there, that is not what is going to make it. What is going to make it is this Antaryami inside. Krishna's presence inside. That is recognizing that and learning how to communicate with that Antaryami is the principle behind it. And of course, this is not going to happen overnight. But when we understand that in spiritual life, everything is very much a very subtle sub-science, it is, isn't it? It's not that comes through books. There's so many examples. One sannyasi, he was very famous, this sannyasi. And he gave sannyasam to many of his disciples. And he had many godbrothers, they took sannyas from him. And he gave them all different names to all these sannyasis. But one person, he gave sannyasam to him. He has never studied any book. He hasn't studied anything. And so everybody used to think he never read anything. He never took any instructions from anyone. He lived a life like that all through his spiritual life. It was like that. But he was always perfect in his realizations. Whenever he spoke something, he spoke sense, in other words. So what he did was, this sannyasi gave him the name Adbhudananda. He called him as Adbhudananda. The name was so apt in the sense that whenever it was an Adbhudam, it was a wonder for everyone else. He was really a wonder for others. Why he gave the name to him was, it was so amazing. Everybody else has studied books and performed sadhana so much. But this one person, just because he knew how to communicate with Antaryami inside, every time what he wanted, he got the instructions from within. This is how he carried his spiritual life. And at some point in life later, he became an avadhuta. Avadhuta means he's gone beyond the sannyasa ashram. And when people had doubts from Upanishads or Bhagavadam or any other Vedic literature, they came to him to clarify, and he gave the perfect answer from within. That is spiritual science. Spiritual life is like that. We put all our faith in the books and all the other things. But inside there is nothing happening. And this is why Krishna is saying here that Madhashraya is such an important thing. Madhashraya. When ashraya is there, you will notice those great devotees or jnanis who have taken this Madhashrayam, our dependence on Krishna, they are very inward looking. They are very inward looking. They are not disturbed by the little things in this world. Because they know what they want. The goal is very clear. And they also know that there is help coming from within. So this important aspect is there mentions in the Bhagavadam also. That Nyasasi Samshayam Andarenaivam Eva Bhagavanidhi. Inside Krishna is present there. And the Mam Yatha Yena Prakarena Nyasasi. Somehow or the other, we have to come to realize this. How we realize it, that's up to us. Individually, we have to do it. Yena pragarena, somehow or the other, it has to happen. What is that? Nyasasi samshayam andarenaivam. That without any doubt, that help is only going to come from inside. Only going to come from inside. Eva bhagavanidhi tad shrunu uchyamanam maya. And hear that Arjuna from me. So this Jnana Vijnana Yogam is a subtle science, what Krishna is going to talk about. Why? Because it is through this we will become a little inward looking. Otherwise we'll go out again looking for solutions everywhere else. That is our very nature. It's like that. That's why it says like that. So here, so so how these things happens? Now this here, then sadhana, take it this way. If you execute sadhana, you will have only that knowledge based on that sadhana. For example, say for in spiritual life, you perform yoga sadhana. Yoga sadhana is like this. Yamam, niyamam. Yoga sadhana means ashtanga yoga. Yamam, niyamam, asanam, pranayamam, pratyaharam, dharana, dhyanam, samadhi. That is the 8 steps ashtanga yoga, in the ashtanga yoga. If you execute that sadhana, you will have only knowledge of that yoga process, isn't it? You will only understand that yoga process. So similarly, if you execute bhakti sadhana, any bhakti sadhana, that is shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasim, sakhyam, atma nivedanam, these are all bhakti sadhana. If you execute bhakti sadhana, you will have knowledge of bhakti. Bhakti, you will have developed understanding of bhakti. We are talking about sadhana now. If you execute any jnana sadhana, jnana margam sadhana is shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. They are the three. And then there is other things follows that. Tidikshobaradi, shraddha, samadhanam, so many other things with that. So any sadhana process, whether it is jnana margam, bhakti margam or yoga margam, whatever sadhana we execute, that sadhana will bring the knowledge of that particular process or the results based on that. But you will have an insight into that. But realized souls, if you look at them, you will see one thing, that they will have knowledge in all dimensions. All dimensions, whether it is yogam, whether it is jnanam, whether it is bhakti, they'll be able to talk to you about that. The reason for that, particularly they have not performed any sadhana. More than any sadhana, they were dependent on Antaryami. Antaryami start talking to them. Because he will not say, if you go to a realized soul and you went and asked him a question about yogam or about jnanam or about bhakti, he will answer. He won't tell you that, oh, I don't know anything about that. I am following the bhakti process. So I don't know. Don't ask me anything about that. He won't say like that. They are always fully complete within themselves. The total realization is there. Particularly, they didn't perform any sadhana. More than any sadhana, they depended on the Antaryami inside. This was the result. This was the result of that. Because sadhana will only bring you that understanding of the that particular process, what you are performing. As I said, shravanam manana nididhyasanam for jnanis, or shravanam kirtanam smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasya sakhyamatma nivedanam, the 9 processes in our bhakti process, or yama niyamam asanam pranayamam pratyaharam dharana dhyanam samadhi for ashtanga yogam, All that processes will bring you to understand that process and the results from that. But those who have realized the truth, who have gone beyond sadhana stage, those are, they will, you will see them, they can answer all questions, whether it's from yogam or jnanam or bhakti or karmam, whatever it may be. They can answer that question. Why is that? Because particularly they didn't stick with one sadhana. It was not sadhana that they were dependent on. They were dependent on Antaryami more. At that stage, Antaryami is what is talking to us through them. Antaryami is talking to us through them. So, and such personalities, when you see, you will see, sometimes they are very devotees, very devoted. Sometimes they are jnanis, and sometimes they are yogis also. Many of them, you will see like that. They could speak about Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam equally, in the same way, with the same understanding, and Raja Yogam, and so many things. So, liberated souls, they are always complete in all aspects. They are always complete in all aspects. So, why we say that? The reason is that liberation, actually there is no such thing called liberation. Bandho mukta idhi vyakhyam, gunado me na vastuda, gunasya maya mulatval na me moksho na bandhanam. We are thinking that we are tied, isn't it? That only when we escape from this, we realize that we were not tied. We were not tied. That is the way Maya works in this world. Under Maya's influence, we think talks about bondage, liberation and everything. But strictly speaking, Krishna is saying there to Uddhava, Uddhava, there is no such thing as bondage or liberation. That is, gunasya maya mulatval. Because of the presence of Maya, we are thinking that three modes of material nature, there is bondage. I am bound. I am tied. This feeling has come from that. So, actually, by now, by this stage, a person who has reached that state of release from the Maya's influence, he is, as far as he is concerned, only Krishna is present then. Only Krishna is present in the creation. Why? His false ego has completely gone from inside. His jiva aspect is this false ego. When we consider, identifies as jiva, jiva is always have false ego with him. False ego is a part of that jiva identity. So, but they have all in their life, after this self-realization has happened, ahanda or false ego has no place in their life anymore. You will notice this also. When they have reached that stage, their humility is not artificial humility. It is not humility they have got from attaining by attending any courses or seminars. Not that kind of humility. This humility is the natural nature of that living entity. That humility that has come to them. So, in spiritual life, it is very important to know that all the Krishna's, what Krishna talks about the various qualities in the Bhagavad Gita. If you look into the 16th chapter, Krishna talks about various qualities, 26 qualities of a devotee and all that. Those qualities, although Krishna has spoken there, the intention was not that we will develop them with our own effort. No, that was not the intention of saying that. Intention of saying that was, Krishna's point is that when you become more spiritual in your nature, these qualities will come to you without any effort. It has to be like that. Because if you develop those qualities on your own, what will happen is, the false ego is saying this, I need that, I must be like this, I must be like that. More and more we strengthen our own false ego, even while trying to develop those qualities. And the qualities will never develop as long as this false ego is operating. When the false ego goes away, all those qualities mentioned there will naturally manifest in all of us. It's not a new thing that has to come from outside. It is there in our nature. Because of ajnanam or ignorance, we think so many things in the wrong way. That's the point there. So, normally you can see spiritual activity, sadhana, you can execute in two different ways. One thing that you struggle very hard, and just like while driving the car, you drive the car and learn how to drive the car and follow all the rules and regulations and drive. And you can drive in that way. The other thing is that You find a good driver, hand it over to him and sit at the back seat and go where you want to go. So you can do it either way, isn't it? So if you have an expert driver, so there is a stage in spiritual life when we are operating on the platform of ego. Platform of ego. And that we try as much as possible to be perfect in our spiritual life. That is that stage of ego. In the stage of ego. But the second stage, initially, the originally, where we hand over that false ego to Krishna and says to him, and then surrender to Antaryami. That is the proper stage of executing spiritual life. In the first stage, it's the ego that's operating, and ego is deciding everything, what we should do and what we should not do. But that is the first stage. But when it comes to a later stage, when we hand over all the responsibility to Krishna and spiritual life happening through us, that is proper spiritual stage at that time. That is what Krishna is saying here. Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagrammam yathajnyasesi chachrunu. Krishna says here, one who executes spiritual life in this way, which way? Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. One who executes spiritual life in that way, that samagram, he will know about me incomplete. His knowledge of me will be complete. And that is why Krishna is going to start here now. And remember is that Krishna, who has spoken to Arjuna, Bhagavad Gita, and Antaryami inside us, talking to us, is the same person. That is one important thing. We shouldn't think Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago to Arjuna in the battlefield. Krishna, who spoke to Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and now everyday life here in this world, when we are executing spiritual life, every instruction that is coming from within, that Krishna Antaryami is one and the same person. If you don't forget that, you will see how important it is, how relevant it is, Bhagavad Gita in today. This is the only way you can... Otherwise, if you start thinking that, this was spoken 5,000 years ago, Bhagavad Gita, what relevance has it got today? People will ask this question sometimes, isn't it? The answer is this. Krishna, who spoke Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago in Kurukshetra, Krishna, who is sitting inside as a super soul and talking to us today in every moment to do what to do in spiritual life, is one and the same person. They are not two different persons. So if we understand that, Krishna says here that if you have matured enough, which pakvam, pakvada it says, isn't it? In the Bhagavadam, when Sri Narada Maharshi left home and came to the forest first, isn't it? Mother died and he left home. And then he wanted to find out Krishna, whom he heard about from the sages. Sages spoke about Krishna. So he came to the forest and he had no instructions in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, nothing. Only thing is, these sages have told him about Krishna's childhood pastimes. He has heard that. And he wanted to hear about Krishna. There it says that he never had any instructions of Shastram or anything. Nothing was there. And when Krishna appeared to him from inside first, it's inside, the manifestation happened inside. And then, Ananda Samplav, Navashyam Ubhayam Mune, he says in the Bhagavadam. Ananda Samplavo Lino, Navashyam Ubhayam Mune. Sri Narada Maharshi says to Vedavyas, Vedavyas, it is like this. When I was sitting in the forest and I was remembering, thinking about Krishna, suddenly inside this great happiness occurred. And along with that, Krishna manifested inside. When that happened, Ananda Samplavam Lino. I was completely immersed in that anandam or happiness inside. Na pashyam ubhayam mune. I lost completely that duality of this world. He says like this. I lost the duality. What is that duality? Losing duality means? Losing duality means he started realizing only Krishna exists everywhere. Nothing else is existing in this creation. Na pashyam ubhayam mune. I couldn't see any more duality in this world, he says there. And then when Krishna spoke to him, Krishna didn't manifest outside. From the sky, the voice came, and in this life, you will not see me anymore. And there is a statement, avipakva kashayanam durdarshoham kuyoginam. Avipakva means it's not mature. You are not matured yet to have my personal association like that. Why? Durdarshoham kuyoginam. Kuyoginam means those who are kuyogi. Kuyogi means they have not reached perfection yet in their yoga process. For such people, it is very difficult, it says. Avibhakva kashayanam durdarshoham kuyoginam. That for kuyogis, it is very hard. Durdarshoham, they can't see me. Krishna is saying like that to Sri Narada Maharshi. So there itself, that pakvada or maturity or matured fruit, one has to become. That is why it mentions here that maturity is not through studying Shastram. It's not through studying Shastram, but rather it is through this Antaryami principle. That when one has learned how to communicate with Antaryami inside, Krishna is saying he has accepted me then, isn't it? He has accepted Krishna then. And he has already started the spiritual conversation with him. Many, many devotees' life, if you look, you will see they spoke to Krishna. They have not seen Krishna, but they spoke to Krishna. They had communicated with Krishna. Madhusudana Saraswati, Vilamangalan Thakur, many, many people like that. They're all history, if you look. They are talking to Krishna all the time. They are not seeing Krishna always, but they were talking to him. Why? Because of this strong conviction inside that Krishna is present within to guide them in their life. When difficulties come, they talk to Krishna. So, so that is why Madashraya, that's what we are discussing. Yogam Yunjan Madashraya. So these are important things in spiritual life. What is that? Mayi asakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya. So, what is actually preventing us from that realization? That is what Krishna is saying here. The it's okay, thanks. Yogam yunjan madashraya. So, he says here that the there is a coverage in us, inside us. If you remember, Vikshevam and Avaranam. Vikshevam and Avaranam. The two things, isn't it? Covering potency and the deluding potency. That Avaranam is the cause behind it. Avaranam, that coverage inside. So he says here that when that covering goes away, that you will see Krishna's presence without any difficulty in this world. Because that covering is so strong, the thick covering is so thick, it's difficult to see Krishna's presence in this world quite often. That is the cause behind it. So, how to remove that avaranam? That is what Krishna mentions there. Once we remove that, he says here, what we'll know? Upanishad says that he will become a force and just like the moon, or like the sun, or like the lightning, the knowledge of the soul will come to him. It will start flowing towards him. And in a realized state, talking about self-realization, the point what Krishna is making is that a person who has accepted this or understood this, that Antaryami is functioning through him in all stages in life, all his activities will be like that of the sun, the moon, the wind. Why? When the sun and the moon and the wind, it is happening under supreme direction, isn't it? Yad bibhedi swayam bhayam. Bhagavatam says like that, isn't it? In the third canto, if you look, you will see there, Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, due to fear of me, the wind is functioning, the fire is burning, and lightning happens, thunder happens, everything in this creation is happening due to fear of me. Mad bhayam, he says. Practically what it means is that it's Krishna's desire that is happening through all that forces in the nature. Similarly, a realized soul also, because his dependence is complete on Krishna, all his body, mind, all activities will be according to Krishna's desire, not anymore his individual desire. In other words, it will never be again according to his individual desire. According to Krishna's desire, everything happens through him. So, therefore, they will always say that independently they have no activity, independent of Krishna. False ego, ignorance, pride, this is the coverage, what we are talking about. When we say that there is a coverage in us inside, that coverage is this, false ego, the pride, and as well as the ignorance. This is that coverage, what Krishna is saying here. When that goes away, all the knowledge what we need is available straight away. That is what Krishna is saying here. In Bhagavad Gita, if you look, these are all the subtle side of Bhagavad Gita. If you look at these things, and if you look at some verses in the Bhagavad Gita, it will become very clear to us. All this. If you look in the 12th chapter, there is a verse there, Tesham aham samudhartha mrtyu samsara sagaral. Twelfth chapter, seventh verse. Tesham aham samudhartha mrtyu samsara sagarat bhavami na chirat partha maya aveshita chedasam. Krishna says, this is in that chapter 12, Bhakti Yogam. Krishna says, Tesham aham samudhartha mrtyu samsara sagaral bhavami na chiral partha maya aveshita chedasam. And here, if you see the translation, Prabhupada mentions there, that always meditating on me, for one who worships me, giving up all the activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, who has fixed his mind upon me, O son of Partha, Pritha, for him I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Tesham aham samudhartha mrtyu samsara sagarat. Bhavami na chirat partha mai aveshita chedasam. The same thing what Krishna has spoken in this verse. He says in a different way here. He says that tesham aham samudhartha. As soon as he has taken my shelter, madashraya, what will happen is, it is my duty, mrtyu samsara sagarat. Mrtyu samsara means the cycle of birth and death, ocean material existence. That ocean of material existence is mrtyu samsara sagaram. I will lift him from that. In other words, as soon as the shelter is taken, Krishna's point is this, that you are no more under the cycle of birth and death. It is over with that, because you have come out of the bodily identity. And Krishna says, Tesham aham samudhartha, that it is that spiritual realization that brings us out of this body, out of this bodily identity. We say we want to free ourselves from the cycle of birth and death. What does that mean? It means that this identity with the body must go. Then you are escaped from the body, isn't it? It's not that physically we lose the body and we may or may not get another body. That's another thing. The important thing is that identity with the body should go. And that's what Krishna is saying here. And that way alone will happen. Bhavamina chirat partha mai aveshita chedasam. One whose mind is absorbed in me, for him it is very easy. Krishna says here, Bhavamina chiral partha mai aveshita chedasam. And in the same way, in another place, Krishna says, Tesham aham samudhartha aham ajnanajam tama. And nashayami alpa bhavasto jnana divena bhaswada. If you look into the 10th chapter, you will see verse 11. The same thing Krishna is speaking. It's all about this surrender to Krishna within. Surrender to Krishna within. Realizing, accepting the soul inside, Krishna's presence inside, and surrendering unto Him. And surrendering unto Him. The more we realize this, you will notice in so many instances in the Bhagavad Gita, this one point keeps on coming up again and again. If you look into the verse, 10th chapter, verse 11. Krishna says, Tesham aham samudhartha aham ajnanajam tama nashayami alpa bhavasto jnana divena bhaswada. Very, very, very clear instruction. Nashayami alpa bhavasto. Nashayami, I'll destroy everything in the alpa bhavam. Sitting inside as the soul, he will talk to us. Nashayami Atma Bhavasto, I will remove everything. Jnana Deepena Bhaswada. The lamp of knowledge will shine forth at that time, he says there. So that avaranam, or covering of the soul, of the covering nature of the soul, what's happening, that covering will only go when that Antaryami inside removes that cover from inside. When he removes that cover from inside. And what does Krishna says? Teshamaham samudhartha. In two places he says. In the 12th chapter he says, Teshamaham samudhartha. Here also he says, Teshamaham samudhartha. Aham ajnanajam tama. Because that covering is ajnanam actually. It's actually ignorance. This ignorance we say, we always say like that, isn't it? I'm very ignorant. What does that mean? I'm only ignorant of one thing. What is that? I'm ignorant of Krishna's presence in this world. That's all I'm ignorant about. All these forces, what Krishna is saying here, that everywhere I am present in everything. In so many ways, Krishna has come and doing various things for us, and he's still doing it. But we don't want to look at it. We don't want to see it like that. Everything we want to see separately from Krishna. And that is where the problem has started. So that is why Krishna is saying here, Tesham Aham Samudhartha. I'll bring him back to his original state. Aham Ajnanajam Tama. Because that ignorance is born out of ignorance. It's our ignorance that is. Ajnanajam Tama. How Nashayami Alpa Bhavastam. I will stay inside as Alpa, as the soul, and I'll destroy it myself. Jnana Deepena Bhaswada, and that knowledge will start coming out from him, from inside. So knowledge is not going to come from outside, knowledge is to come from inside, from the person. That is the principle behind it. Spiritual knowledge comes from inside, not from outside. Therefore, that's why it makes sense also, because these personalities who have not studied any book, who have not studied any Shastram, simply they knew everything was inside, packed completely there. Only thing is, it was covered due to ajnanam, ignorance. When the ignorance gone away, automatically the knowledge started coming from inside. And then all Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, everything, you could see that it was there, already stocked up, there, stacked up inside. So, teshamaham samudhartha aham ajnanajantama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhaswada. If you remember that verse, you can remember that every moment Krishna can give you the help, what you need in spiritual life all the time. If this inquiry of running after all over the world looking for spiritual life, somebody will be there to give me, somebody will, nobody will give us, because they also have to tell you the same thing, what is there in the Bhagavad Gita, that it is there in everyone. It's only that we are not given our Shraddha. That's what the word Shraddha coming from. Shraddha was not there. Shraddha was in the world. Shraddha was not inside in the soul. So when the Shraddha goes towards the soul, Krishna is saying that Teshamaham Samudhartha Aham Ajnanajantama Nashayami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Deepena Bhaswada. All these verses are, have to say only one thing, to recognize Antaryami inside, to recognize Krishna inside. So that is why he says here that once it has happened, one he removes that coverage. Coverage is avaranam, isn't it? Avaranam is that cover inside. Once that avaranam is taken away, what will happen? In Shastram, the word uses is niravarana drishti. Niravarana drishti means he can see things without that coverage. We are seeing everything with the cover on it. And you can see the subtlety of that expression, niravarana drishti. Niravarana drishti means he has no more cover anymore. He is seeing things in the proper way. Therefore, they are called niravarana drishti. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, they will talk about this, niravarana drishti. His drishti is without any coverage. Great realized souls, because they have reached that state, this covering is not there of the soul. Covering of what? Covering of ignorance. What we call as the ignorance, which we have very strongly in us. Once that coverage is removed, we will see things niravarana drishti. That is called niravarana. Drishti means vision. Niravarana means without any cover. Without any cover. And and once that coverage is gone, then that is our spiritual nature, surupam. Surupam is like that. So in that it is a sarvajnaha sarvaved yasya jnanamayam tapaha. Ubhradaranyam says like that. That a sarvajnaha. And he realizes that thing inside, which was all this time covered, It is full of knowledge, sarvajnaha, sarvavit, it knows everything, and sarvajnanamayam tavaha, and he knows, he has full knowledge of everything in this creation. And he also realizes that what is inside is purna vastu, it is complete on its own, without any, and there is no such thing as false ego, All the knowledge is present there. And so, and the, because at that time there is no more false ego anymore, he can't act independently. And therefore, he says here, whenever it's necessary, it will function on its own way. And that is what Krishna is saying here. Such a person who is dependent on Krishna and executing the yoga in that way, and for him, he will receive all the knowledge what he needs, and the coverage will be removed from inside. So, what Krishna is saying is, in this verse, Mayasakta Manapartha Yogam Yunjan Madashrayaha. This is the main thing. One is Asakti, Mayasakta Mana. Other one is Madashraya. So, when Madashrayam happens, Krishna says that inside all that covering of the soul in the form of ignorance, what was existing, that will be removed. When that covering is removed, automatically all that is needed for the devotee or for the jnani, whoever is following that spiritual path, all the instructions and help what he needs will come from that inside, from the source. It will come from the source. And he says here that one who is executing this yoga process, completely dependent on me, Madashraya, all the knowledge what is necessary is already available inside, will come flowing from inside. That's why you will notice many, many personalities, after they have reached a certain stage, then they are on their own. There is nobody anymore to go and ask questions anywhere. They don't ask any questions because already they have made that link with inside, and they know from where, which way direction to go. After that, all instructions are from within. It's only in the early days, very beginning, that our mind is attached to all these questions, and because we ourselves, that avaranam is very strong inside. Avaranam, covering, is very strong. When the cover starts going away, you will start realizing that all the instructions are already there. It's just a question of how to tap it properly at the time. That's what Krishna is saying to you. Can look at this in the next verse also, you will see there that he says here, tachamad vishayam jnanam. That knowledge means what? Knowledge of soul, knowledge of Krishna, nothing else. That's all knowledge means. So he says, tacha madvishayam jnanam. And Krishna says to Arjuna, that I'm going to talk to you about that topic, isn't it? Yada jnasyasi tat shrunu. Hear from me about that. What is that thing? Madvishayam, about me. Krishna is going to talk about himself. And that is the topic he's going to talk about. He says, the way Krishna puts it, he says to him, Mayasakta manapartha yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagramam yadha nyasyasi. Know about that, tashrunu. Hear about it. About what? About me, he says. Krishna says about him. So, and at the right time, Krishna will reveal that knowledge about himself to us from inside. That's the point. So, you can look at the next verse now.
Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyamyasheshatam yajnatva neha bhuyonyan yadavyam avashishyate jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyamyasheshatam yajnatva neha bhuyonyan
ज्ञातव्यम् अवशिष्यते. ज्ञानं तेहं सविज्ञानम् इदं वक्ष्यामि अशेषता यज्ञात्वा नह भूयोन्यात् ज्ञातव्यम् अवशिष्यते. Translation: I shall now declare unto you in full knowledge both phenomenal and nominal, by knowing which there shall remain nothing further to be known. Nothing further to be known. So, what did we know from that? All these statements is very hard, isn't it? Sometimes when you see, when Krishna says like this, Arjuna must have understood. And they say that Bhagavad Gita is spoken for all of us. But the difficulty is that all these verses, when you know, don't know the subtlety of those verses, it all remains completely a out-of-bound area. In other words, jnanam teham savijnanam. Krishna says, if you remember, in Chatushloki Bhagavatam also, he told Brahma the same thing. I'll give you the whole thing, isn't it? I'll give you the whole package. I'll give you the jnanam, I'll give you the vijnanam. To Brahma, Krishna was a little more considerate because he is the first person, isn't it, who got it. So when he spoke to Brahma, what did he say? He said, I will teach you, I'll give you the jnanam, I'll give you the vijnanam. I'll give you all the sadhana process, that also I'll give you. And I'll also give you all the processes, what you have to do after receiving the knowledge. That also I'll give it to you. In other words, everything together as a whole package to Brahma, he gave it. To Arjuna, Krishna is saying, jnanam deham sa vijnanam. That I'll give you the jnanam and vijnanam, idam bhakshyami asheshada. After that, you don't have to know anything after that. And you shall remain, there is nothing remain further to be known. Ekyatva neha bhuyonyal jnadavyam avashishyade. After you have got this jnanam and vijnanam, there is nothing else to be known after that. Remember, yesterday we discussed this. In spiritual life, knowledge is not evolving. Spiritual knowledge doesn't evolve. Once you have realized it, that stop. There it finishes that. Then there is nothing to know after that. In material life, it's all, material knowledge is always evolving, isn't it? You have to keep on developing every day. New developments, isn't it? So there is no development like that. That is why Krishna is saying with full confidence, jnatavyam avishishyade, there is nothing to be known after that. Exactly the same thing Krishna told Uddhava also. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see. And when very minute, when Krishna was, when Uddhava was leaving, if you look into the last verse in the Bhagavatam, in the Ekadasha Skandam, Uddhava was going to Badrinath, and at that time, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, you will see in the verse 32, if you look into 29th chapter, Naidad vijnaya jityaso yadavyam avashishyate pitva piyusham amrdam padavyam navashishyate. That is a verse. Krishna says to Uddhava, Naidad vijnaya jityaso. He is talking about the knowledge in the Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, Naidad vijnaya jityaso. When one has got this knowledge, there is nothing more to be known after that. Naidad vijnaya jityasor. Jnadavyam avashishyade. Jnadavyam means something to be known. That is jnadavyam avashishyade. There is nothing there to be known for him anymore after that. Naidad vijnaya jityasor. Jnyasu means one who is inquisitive for or who has come to the path of spiritual life. And for him, neither vijnaya jnyasur jnatavyam avashishyate. What Krishna is saying to Arjuna here, exactly the same thing Krishna is saying to Uddhava also. Neither vijnaya jnyasur jnatavyam avashishyate. Why it is like that? Pitva piyusham amrdam padavyam navashishyate. One who has drunk nectar, amrdam, will he ask for water or fruit juice after that? He won't, will he? Because he has got the best of all the drink. Piyusham amrdam. Pitva piyusham amrdam. He has already drunk the nectar. In other words, Krishna says, this knowledge what I have given to you, Uddhava, it is the nectar of everything. The nectar. And once you have drunk this, padavyam navashishyade, he cannot drink anything after that. He won't feel any desire to drink anything else. Exactly the same way, neither this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, neither vijnaya jnyasor jnatavyam avashishyate. He will not have any more desire to know anything after that. When there is a desire inside to know more, then you have to keep on inquiring, isn't it? If there is no more desire coming again to know anything further, then everything stops there. In spiritual life, because that knowledge or self-realization happens to a person, there is no more desire coming anymore to know anything after that. Because he has reached that, because he has got the truth. In this world, we also are looking for that, but only thing we don't know that. That's the problem. We are also looking for something. Somewhere there is a dissatisfaction inside, isn't it? We are not happy. Life is not complete. So we go and find out from every source to find out what should I do to feel that satisfaction inside. The happiness, the fulfillment as they call it in the modern psychology, the fulfillment. Where is that fulfillment? Fulfillment is this, that something is missing in life, that I am not complete. And life doesn't make any sense otherwise if I don't get it. That inquiry is going on all the time within us. But in a very subtle level it's happening. That's why we go to colleges, universities. Of course, now it's become more like acquiring knowledge is a part of our nature in us. Acquiring understanding of life, purpose of life, what we're living for. Why are we here? What is our business here? So many things have happened in this life. That's another thing. But behind all these things, when we are sober, you can see that there is something inside asking us to find out more. What is, why are we here? What's the purpose of life? What's the goal? All these questions will come up sometime or the other. So that is where Tattvam is coming, Tattvadarshanam. Krishna says, isn't it? Tattvadarshanam spoken about in the Bhagavadam, in the first canto, where he says that once it has happened, once he has understood the Tattvam, then there is no more inquiry after that. And that is why Ekadasha Skandam was spoken, Bhagavad Gita was spoken. So this Naidad vijnaya jnyasur jnatavyam avashishyade. Pitva piyusham amrdam padavyam navashishyade. Krishna's explanation is like that. That naidad vijnaya, after you have understood Ekadasha Skandam, there is nothing more to know after that. Because it is a summary of all the Upanishads. That's why. Naidad vijnaya jnyasur jnatavyam avashishyade. Nothing, there is no knowledge after that to know anything further. It's a very higher state, isn't it? When Krishna is saying like that with full confidence, jnatavyam avashishyate, there is nothing else to know after that. And he gives a comparison, pitva piyusham amrdam padavyam navashishyate. If he has drunk nectar, will he ask for another water or another drink, anything else? Because he has got the highest drink, what he wants to have. So, saying that, in the same way here, you will see in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna is saying to Uddhava the same thing. Krishna says to Uddhava, Jnanam teham savit jnanam idam vakshyami asheshada. That yet jnatva neha bhuyanyam jnatavyam avashishyade. After knowing this, there is nothing else to be known. So, vijnana sahidam sambhavam svanibhavam samyuktami idam vakshyami kadayishyam asheshada. He says, Jnanam te tubhyam aham savit jnanam vijnana sahidam. Svanubhava yuktam idam vakshyami kathayishyami asheshada kasnena ta ajnanam jnanam vivakshidam saudi shrautam अभिमुख्य कारणाय यज्ञात्वा यज्ञानं ज्ञात्वा नेह भूय पुनर अन्यात् ज्ञातव्यं पुरुषार्थ साधनं अवशिष्यते न अवशिष्टं भवति. ओके, ज्ञानं ते तुभ्यं अहं सविज्ञानं. सो दिस विज्ञानं इज गिवन कंप्लीट. कृष्ण इज सेइंग इट इज गिवन कंप्लीट. एवरीथिंग इज कंप्लीट. कृष्ण सेज दैट वंस दिस इज टेकन what kind of knowledge is that? That is the savijnanam. Means Krishna is given this knowledge along with the experience of that knowledge. This is the important thing. Krishna says to Arjuna, you are not this body, isn't it? But Arjuna was not satisfied by that. Krishna says, with this understanding you will also get that experience that you are not this body. That is where that difference is. Jnanam and Vijnanam. Vijnanam is that realization. And that is Krishna's mercy. That is Krishna's mercy. So, there is a big difference that knowledge that is acquired from the books and the knowledge that is received from Krishna. There is a big difference there. Knowledge that is acquired from the books and the knowledge that has come from Krishna, there is a big difference there. What is that difference? The knowledge that's coming from the books will be like the water dropping little by little by little, drops will come. The knowledge that comes from Krishna is a torrent, continuous flow. There is a difference like that. Because when the water drops little by little, every drop, you have to drain it out, get it out from there, isn't it? From the books. You have to get it out like that. But when it comes from Krishna, it's like a powerful rain dropping, continuously coming, a powerful rain. So, and it will come when it's necessary. That's why it's Vijnanamrutam albhutam varshati. So Krishna is saying here, I'll give you both jnanam and vijnanam. So, if you jnanam te tubhyam ahasa vijnanam vijnana sahidam, along with vijnanam. Otherwise, jnanam is no use, isn't it? We have got jnanam, but if there is no vijnanam, what is the use? So he says here, adam swa anubhava yuktam. It should be experienced by us. Anubhava yuktam, it should be. We should be able to experience. Idam vakshyami kathayishyami asheshana kasnena. Right now, I'll talk to you, Krishna says to Arjuna, that this knowledge and with that you can have the experience as well. The seventh chapter begins like that. Knowledge and realization both together as one package, Krishna is offering. It's a good offer, isn't it? All other knowledge in the second chapter and all is only knowledge. There is no realization given. But in seventh chapter, Krishna is saying, I'll give you both now. To Arjuna, he says like that. Yuktam idam vakshyami kathayishyami asheshata kasnina te jnanam vivakshitam straudhi shrotram abhimukhya abhimukhikaranaya. That means, then this jnanam, which is shraudam, from the Shruti or from the Upanishad's knowledge, abhimukhi karanaya yat jnatva yat jnanam jnatva neha bhuya punar anya jnanatvayam. Only difference is, this knowledge, if you have got it, then the question is that you will not ask for anything after that. That's the difference. All other things, if I give it to you, you may ask for more or something else later. But this one particular knowledge, what I'm going to talk to you now, Krishna says, once you have got it, then you won't ask for anything after that. Idi matva purushartha sadhanam jnatavyam purusha puya punar anya jnatavyam purushartha sadhanam avashishyate na vasishtam bhavati. There is nothing else remaining after that. So, he says here that in Chatushloki Bhagavatam we have seen this, isn't it? There, what did Krishna says to Brahma? Sa rahasyam tadanganja grihanam gaditam maya. If you look into the Bhagavatam, you will see. Sa rahasyam tadanganja grihanam gaditam maya. When Krishna spoke Chatushloki Bhagavatam to Brahma, he says to Brahma, I'll give you that ahameva samivagre, the four verses Krishna spoke to Brahma. And then prior to that, he says, Sa rahasyam tadanganja grihanam gaditam maya. The confidential nature of that verses, I'll give that to you, experience that for you, and tadangam, It means with all its components. What is the angam? Angam means that prior to jnanam, prior to knowledge, there is certain procedures to follow. Certain things one has to practice. That is in the jnanamargam, because that Chatushloki Bhagavatam is purely based on the jnanam process. So for jnanamargam, prior to receiving the knowledge, he has to have what they know as sadhana chatushtayam. Sadhana chatushtayam means that the person who has the full realization of the truth, like in the way that Atman Atma Vivekam, that spirit soul's purity in relationship with the matter, Vairagyam, Ihamutra Bhalaboga Vairagyam, then Shamam Damam Tidiksha Uparadi Shraddha Samadhanam, various things necessary for receiving the knowledge inside. Krishna had to give all this to Brahma and keep him ready so that he could give the jnanam to him, and after that the vijnanam to him, and after that he has to give him the, after receiving the knowledge, what he has to reflect on that knowledge based on shravana manana nididhyasanam. So all these things Krishna says to him, that not only knowledge but personal experience as well. And na jnatavyam avashishyate, there is nothing else and to know after that. Only then he will reach that stage, there is nothing more to be known after that. So so here, when Krishna spoke to Brahma, Krishna handed over everything. Krishna is talking to Arjuna, Krishna is also saying to Arjuna, jnanam and vijnana sahidam, along with the vijnanam, it is given. End of, or completion, or fulfillment of knowledge, or completion of that. here you will see, goal is anandam. Anandam is the goal, isn't it? Anandam brahmedi, it says. Brahmanandam. Anandam means satta chitta anandam. Anandam is the nature of the soul. So when self-realization happens, that anandam aspect of Krishna must come out, otherwise it is no use. And that is the proof that wherever there is anandam, that anandam is the goal, because only when that anandam comes, distress goes. Anandam comes, distress goes away at that time. Distress goes away. And that is the time when fear goes away. Fear goes away. All inquisitiveness goes away. And there one has released himself from that state. So there we can see, yat jnatva neha bhuyo anyat jnatavyam avashishyate. So yat jnatva neha bhuyo, after knowing this, Krishna says, yat jnatva neha bhuyo anyat jnatavyam avashishyate. There is nothing else to be known after that. And Krishna says, I'll give you that knowledge, not realization. Kasnena kathayishyami. Kasnena kathayishyami. Sa sarvajnyo bhavati tat jnanam vivakshati stoti. And one who has got it, he becomes sarvajnya. Sarvajnya means one who knows everything. One who knows everything. So, what does that mean? Sarvajnya means, does that mean that you can go and ask him any question, whatever you have in this world? No, not like that. Sarvajnyatvam is Ishwara's quality. Krishna's quality is sarvajnyatvam. So this is another interesting thing. When one is realized, Krishna is saying here, he will know everything. He will know everything. Bhagavad Gita is saying like that, isn't it? He says here, yajnyatva neha bhuyanya jnatavyam avashishyate. There is nothing to be known after that. In other words, he becomes sarvajnya. Now, when you say somebody is sarvajnam, what is expected is that you can go and ask any question to him about anything in this world and he should be able to answer that. No, that's not what it means. What it means is, Krishna says here, that this sarvajnyatvam, knowledge of everything, only Krishna has. It's a quality of Ishvara. Ishvara's nature is like that. He is conscious of everything. Everything, anything he is aware of. But what happens is, if it is necessary, Krishna can operate through the intelligence of that jnani who is realized, if he wants it. That is what it is. if Krishna, not that if I want it, say I want to know something, I go and ask a realized soul, can you answer my question? Now, whether I should get the answer or not, it's not he who decides it, Krishna decides that. And if Krishna wants it, he can release that answer through that person's buddhi, through his intelligence. So, sarvajnyatvam is in Krishna is that, what do they call it, for a jnani, for a realized soul, Krishna is the server. In other words, everything is stored in Krishna, he is the Ishvara, controller. So, jnani, when we say, jnatavyam avashishyate means, as and when he needs something, it will come to him from the source. Krishna is the source, is the Ishvara, he is the source. So from everything is stored up there, and if a jnani needs something, it will come from the source straight away. For us, we don't get that connection, we don't have the link with the source. So it is that what makes that jnani sarvajna, he knows everything. That's why we say he knows everything, because he is linked to the source, not that everything is stored up in him, because he is linked to the source. And any time when he needs it, it will come for him. If he needs it, Krishna knows it will come to him. So it can operate through him. it will operate through him. Quite often it may not happen. The reason is that some of those things will develop into siddhis. Into siddhi. This is how it happens, you see. When we come to the next chapter in the Bhagavadam, in the 11th canto, where we will be discussing about Aishwarya Siddhi. And in that Aishwarya Siddhi, some Siddhis are only in Krishna. Some Siddhi, Krishna says, you can develop on your own. Some Siddhis you can develop. Krishna has classified them into two categories. One category of Siddhi, they are only present in Krishna. And another group of Siddhis, Siddhi means mystic powers, or Aishwarya Siddhi they are called, isn't it? Mystic powers. Some of them can be developed by us, for everyone can develop it if they want it, and Krishna gives the process also of development of those siddhis. So those who are developing them, and when they develop those siddhis, they can use them. But those siddhis which are present in Krishna only in Krishna, those siddhis, they will not come very freely to everybody. But in case of jnanis, sometimes they can come through them. That is because Krishna has released that siddhi for them. Everyone, you know this, people execute yogam, isn't it? They go into yoga processes. When we say yogam, I'm talking about ashtanga yogam. Through ashtanga yogam, people develop siddhis. A lot of siddhis they develop through that. Anima, Lehima, Garima, Mahima. There's a number of siddhis mentioned in the Bhagavadam. To become lighter than the lightest. To become heavier than the heaviest. And to become the greatest. To become the smallest. All these things. And Anima, Mahima, Lehima, Garima. So many things. You will see the many demons in the Krishna's pastimes. They had many of these siddhis with them. Trinavarta came, picked up Krishna, and flew into the sky, isn't it? And what did Krishna do? Krishna also started applying the yogic power on him. If you remember that pastime with Krishna and Trinavarta. Trinavarta came in the form of a wind, and Krishna was lying in Yashoda Devi's lap, and Krishna started increasing the weight. And when the weight became very unbearable, Yashoda Devi just pushed Krishna from the lap, couldn't bear it anymore. And Trinavarta came and picked him up, and the weight started getting heavier and heavier. Trinavarta was finding it very hard. So these are all siddhis. That Lekhima Garima, that means increasing the weight. And the weight became so heavy, Trinavarta was finding it. Trinavarta was also had siddhi to do all these things. Goes into the sky with Krishna, with the weight. And then Krishna held on to the neck of Trinavarta and started squeezing from there in the sky. So so when that pastime happens, demons apply siddhis like that. Many, many demons have that siddhis in them. So siddhi, between the jnanis and the yogis, there is a difference in these siddhis. They have developed this siddhi through yoga process. Who? The demons. Hiranyakashipu developed a lot of siddhis. You know, in the Bhagavatam talked about that, isn't it? They could perform such penances we can't even think about. To stand in the tow for months together. And like the way Hiranyakashipu's austerities, if you read in the Bhagavatam, even Brahma gave him the gold cross for that. Gave him the medal. That nobody has done like this in the past, he says to Hiranyakashipu. Like the way you have done. The penances. Yeah. So by executing such penances, they have acquired all kinds of siddhis. The demons have. In the battle in Kurukshetram also you will see, they have applied a lot of siddhis they had. Many of them had. Salva came with a siddhi. Shiva had given him some siddhis. I started applying against Krishna. Isn't it? When Salva attacked Krishna, he uses the siddhis in him. Artificial aeroplane he has created, which was invisible, and he was fighting. An invisible aeroplane in the sky, and nobody knew where it's appear, where it's disappear. Our radars won't detect that. Our radars cannot detect that, because the very nature of that aeroplane was like that. That is a siddhi. So when you read these things in Mahabharatam, or in the Bhagavatam, or in Ramayanam, you can imagine that when you move on to the spiritual plane, even the material success and achievements looks nothing compared to in front of that, isn't it? Because Salva was fighting this battle, and at one point he brought Vasudeva and Devaki and cut their throat in front of Krishna. And frightened, for a second Krishna was also shocked. Bhagavatam says like that. But because there is total knowledge and realization inside, he says, Bhagavatam says like this, that for a second Krishna was also in a shaken state. That Vasudeva and Devaki, he says to them, Salva says to them, that Vasudeva and Devaki has been killed now and cut their throats. Brought them, artificially Vasudeva and Devaki was brought there and killed. And Maya, that's how Maya works. So all these powers of Maya, the demons have developed and formed them into siddhis. And that is why Krishna says, siddhis are of no use to you in self-realization, which is a different game altogether. In self-realization, all these siddhis are useless. But the siddhi that they acquire through yoga process, that is why yogam is so popular. Because yogam is very tangible, isn't it? You can practice it, and if you can get some siddhis, you know that you got it. Whereas whatever we talk about bhakti and jnanam, people are still not sure whether is this all going to happen. So that this is the only reason why yoga process, when I say yoga process, Ashtanga Yogam, is more attractive to people. Without anybody coming and preaching or propagating bhakti and jnanam, yoga has spread everywhere, isn't it? Yoga has come. Very easily people accept that. And now government has no problem with yoga. Government themselves saying, now you study yoga, follow yoga process. Why? Because they know the result is there, they can get the results. Whereas bhakti, jnanam, no, which government is interested in bhakti? Which government is interested in jnanam? They don't want any of that. They want yoga, yes, it will help their physical development or solution of material problems. So what is the difference? So these siddhis come from yogam. The siddhis come from yogam. Jnanis also have siddhi, but there is a big difference between the siddhi of a jnani and the siddhi of a yogi. Siddhi of a yogi. Yogi siddhi is what they apply with full consciousness. They are conscious about it when they are applying their siddhis. Yogi siddhis are like that. All the siddhi what the yogis exhibit is their own individual effort, and they can consciously apply that, those siddhis. Jnani siddhi happens in another way. It will happen when it is necessary. When Krishna decides it's necessary, the siddhi will happen. It may not be with their conscious. They may not be conscious about it, but it will happen. They may not even know about it. In other words, all the siddhis that happens for the jnani, it will happen in a very light way, light-hearted way. Whereas mind and intelligence, nothing is influencing that. In the yogi's case, it is different. In the yogi's case, all the siddhis they perform will happen with their full conscious, where fully the conscience. They will aware of that everything, and it will happen through them. There is one instance, one story spoken about this to understand this better. A doctor who has practiced in the United States for a long time and fairly advanced in medical knowledge, he came back to Delhi, and out of his curiosity, he was very knowledgeable on the medical science, very developed a lot of knowledge. He was traveling in the mountains in Himalayas. He went to travel there because he heard about the presence of yogis there. There were many yogis who were present there. So in that process, he met with a particular yogi and he had a conversation with him, conversation with this yogi. So what was interesting, he comes and reports about this later, that he was very much familiar with a lot of advanced development in the medical field on a particular branch which he was related with, which he was practicing in America. When he came to this yogi and he started talking to him, yogi started asking him some questions. Yogi started asking him some questions. So whenever he asked a question, when he came to know that this doctor is particularly specializing in a particular area of medicine, he was asking questions and this doctor was answering all those questions. But at some point in time, when the questions became very complex, in other words, questions which you know imagine that will come from an ordinary person, he was thinking he's a yogi. After all, what is a yogi? What does a yogi? He has developed his yogic powers. But how does he know that what I am doing, and not only that, his questions were so so much in depth, the questions, out of curiosity he asked the yogi, how do you know about all these things? The way you are asking questions as though you are doing all this research for a long period of time. It was such a specialized area in medicine that he couldn't believe that such questions will come from an ordinary person. So he felt that there's no chance that you could have read all these things anywhere, because sitting in the Himalayas, what chance has he got? There's no internet connection, there's no books, nothing available. But all the questions are coming from him about these various things, what he was doing the research. And not only that, more interesting than that, what the doctor says is that after their research in America, they have developed some knowledge which they have not released yet to the world. He was working for a pharmaceutical company who was involved to a large degree in research work there. So there's a lot of knowledge they have which they, according to their own schedule, they will release it to the world, the medicines will be manufactured, tested and all that. But this particular doctor says that some knowledge what we have developed but which we have not released into the market, to the world outside yet, he was asking questions about that. And he was in a shock how this could happen. It was then that he very politely asked him that, how do you know these things? That we know about it because we have done research work, but it hasn't gone to the world outside yet. Where is this knowledge coming from? He says, whenever you are talking to me, I can see from your brain what is coming out. He says, everything I can read it, clearly what is written in your head and where it is originating from. This was his answer to him. So what did he say? Simply read it from your brain, he says. I simply read it from your brain. So this is that jnanis and yogis are like that. So jnana margam, when it is necessary, this person was thinking that, oh, he is so uneducated, whole life he has spent in doing this yoga business. What did he gain from this? This doctor was thinking. And now when he starts, these questions are coming from him in this way, he started thinking, well, I have spent so many years doing research, all that, but I can't keep it as a secret anymore. It's coming out like this through him. So this is why we say that yoga process, or whether for a jnani or a yogi, this you may call it a siddhi or not. When it is necessary, it will come out. When it's necessary, it will come out. This doctor wanted to find out what is this yoga is all about. So without saying anything, he understood what yoga, power of yoga. Without anything, he understood the power of yoga. So he was saying to him that while being in front of the yogis, one has to be very careful, because, or even front of the jnanis, if it's necessary, one has to be very, very careful, because they can see us inside, just like a mirror, our inside. They can see it so clearly inside, what is going through inside. So there is no possibility. We remember the stories, what we talked about earlier also, that the that Brahmana who left and he was meditating underneath the tree, the crow passed through and fell on his head. He got angry and got very upset. And then he went for begging for bhiksha. At the time in the household, she was there. The lady was there. He asked for bhikshamdehi, bhikshamdehi, give me food. The lady said, you have to wait. And he got very angry with her. So she says to him, don't get angry with me, because I am not like that who got burned. I'm not going to become, to be burned like this. And he was shocked. How did she knew that what happened there with the crow? So you can see from this, jnanam is like that, the power of jnanam, imagine that. So for jnanis, when it is necessary, it will come. That is how jnanam is. For yogi, consciously they have to apply it. That is the difference between a siddhis of a jnani and siddhis of a yogi. If Krishna decides that at particular instance, that lady has to, she has to tell him this way, reply him, so that knowledge what was necessary had come to that jnani, that lady. And after that, she says to him, if you want to know how this happened, go to Benares and meet Dharmavyada, will tell you about it, he says. She goes there, and when she went there, Dharmavyada is telling him, oh, the lady has sent you here, has she? So you can see how the whole thing works. That jnanam and the siddhis, they all is in Krishna's control. Krishna wants it, it will come out at the appropriate time through the person when it's necessary. Now, if you say all this to a scientist, will he accept it? He'll say, show it to me, he will say. You show it to me means what can you say to him? It is there in the Bhagavadam, it is there in the Upanishads. Now more than that, what can you say? You have to try and make it yourself happen. There's nothing else you can do. So that is how spiritual life is. Spiritual life is not something where you don't have to prove it to this, because from there, all these subtle things, what we discuss here in the Bhagavad Gita, their experiences and realization is on a completely different plane. All these things are happening on a completely different level. It's not on our mundane scientific level, as we call it. So, here, in normal situations, jnanis don't need this knowledge. Jnanis don't need this. Siddhis, they don't require it. So, important difference between a jnani and a yogi is, all the yoga siddhis, what they have developed, they can consciously apply it. For jnanis, only when the knowledge is necessary or the siddhis are necessary, Krishna will supply that for them at that particular time. So, jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshada yet jnatva neha bhoyanyal jnatavyam avashishyate. Krishna says here, isn't it? here, jnanam teham savijnanam. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshada. So, jnanam te tubhyam aham savijnanam vijnana sahidam swa anubhavam yuktam idam vakshyami kathayishyami asheshada kasnina tat jnanam vivittam saudi shrotam. He says, shrotam, and bhavadi, ultimately, he says here that na avashishtam bhavadi, there is nothing else to be known. And what else? Idimatvatnyoya sa sarvatnyo bhavati artha. If you have known this, you become sarvatnya. Sarvatnya means you know everything. Everything is known at that stage. Sarvatnyo bhavati. Sarvatnyo bhavati. So sarvatnyam also we have to understand it in this way. Not that sarvatnya means he has got answer for you, for all your questions. That's not sarvatnya means. Sarvatnya means that when it is necessary, if he has to answer, or if a particular knowledge is necessary for a jnani, that will come to him at the appropriate time from the source. That is Sarvajnyatvam. That is Sarvajnyatvam. For us, what is Sarvajnyatvam? Mundane level, if you understand, Sarvajnyatvam means I've got all the knowledge in my brain. Isn't it? That's how we will take it. We will think it like that. All the knowledge what I need, I've got it here. In here, they say. Then I got stored up everything here. But Sarvajnyatvam is not like that. Sarvajnyatvam is, when it's necessary, it'll come from the source. That means that link is strong with Krishna. Krishna is Sarvajnya because he is Ishvara. Everything is there. Without that, he's complete in all aspects, isn't it? But you don't have to have everything within the head, isn't it? As long as the link is strong. As long as the link, only thing is you should be able to download it as and when you want it. That's the only thing. If you can download it, what do you need to keep it within yourself? So that downloading is what Krishna is talking about here. Jnanam teham savijnanam. Idam vakshyami asheshada. Yet jnatva neha bhuyonyil jnatavyam avishishade. Each of these words, you have to very clearly understand it. Otherwise, we will misunderstand. Jnani's sarvajnyatvam is the one what Krishna is saying here. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami. After knowing this, nothing to be known after that. When he says like that, what does that mean? That means he has become sarvajnyam, isn't it? He knows everything. But that sarvajnyatvam is like this. This is what we have to understand. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshada. Krishna is saying, I give you all the jnanam with the vijnanam necessary for that. After knowing this, nothing else to be known after that. That means in our language, if you put it, is sarvajnya stage. He knows everything then. Now, if you start thinking, because he is Sarvajnya, he should answer all my questions. No, that's not what it means. Sarvajnya means that yatnyatva neha bhuyonyat yatavyam avashishyade. There is nothing, because he has reached that state that the link with Krishna is completely established. And if it is necessary, Krishna decides he should have it, it will come to him at the time when he needs it. That is Sarvajnyatva. That is Sarvajnyatva. In other words, the purpose of Sarvajnyatvam is to not to show to the world that he is a Sarvajnya. That's not the goal. Or to convince others, oh, I am a Sarvajnya sitting here and you can ask me any question, I'll answer you. That is not Sarvajnyatvam. Sarvajnyatvam is given to the jnani to show to him that already he has reached that state, he is completely linked with Krishna all the time. Completely linked with Krishna. And Krishna knows whether he needs that knowledge or not, and Krishna will decide whether he should have it or not. This is Sarvajnyatvam. So that is what the important point in that verse. Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshada. There is nothing else to be known after that. Yajnyatva jneha bhuyonyal. That after knowing this, yajnyatva jneha bhuyonyal jnatavyam avashishyade. There is nothing else to be known. So that is the way the system works. That's the way the system operates. So we say here, thou. So we are talking about here. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam also, the knowledge or the realization that has happened to that person, Yani's case we are now discussing, he says here, once he has reached and touched that screen inside, remember when we talked about self-realization, the screen inside, that he knows that it is the soul, and the soul is that source from where everything comes. From the soul it comes, and you have touched that soul. In other words, tam sarvabhuta hridayam munim anatosmi. He has come to that stage. Sarvalma aho adhikrataha aho dhanya bhagavanda mittam. If you look into the first canto of Bhagavatam, there is a verse there in the third chapter. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, you will see in the third chapter. Aho adeha danya bhagavandamittam yat vasudeve akhila loganathe kurvandi sarvatmagamatma bhavam na yatra bhoya parivartamugraham. Krishna says, Sutta Goswami says to, Sutta Goswami says, this is in the third chapter, when Sutta Goswami is going to talk to to Shaunaga Rishi and others in the Bhagavatam, different incarnations of Krishna. He talks about different incarnations. 24 incarnations were spoken in that. If you look in the beginning with Nanavadaranam Nithanam Bijamabhyam, it begins like that. That all incarnations are spoken in the first canto, third chapter. Krishna's incarnations discusses. After saying all that, what does he say? He says, Adeha dhanya bhagavanda mitam yad vasudeve akhila lokanathe kurvandi sarvatmagam atma bhavam na yatra bhuya parivarta mugra. He says, in other words, he says to the sages, because you are inquiring about Krishna, means all the sages, thousands of sages who are present in Naimisharanyam, their inquiry was about the truth, isn't it? Inquiring about the truth means inquiring about Krishna. And your mind is absorbed in that. Those who have come to that stage, kurvandi sarvalpagam atma bhavam, that they are inquiring about that atma or the soul who is present in everyone. Sarvalpagam atma bhavam. Because you are inquiring about that, nayatra bhuya parivarta ugra. That in that state, what can happen is that they will never experience any more parivartam. Parivartam means the samsaram or cycle of birth and death, which is very fearful, frightening to everyone. The sages who were present there, they were fully aware that there is a thing called transmigration of the soul. For them, there was no doubt in their mind. And they were frightened about that. They're frightened about the transmigration. We are not frightened about transmigration of the soul, are we? If anybody tells you. And some of the things are very interesting. When we take to spiritual life, what happens? One devotee says to another devotee, he should be transmigrated into another body. It is a very polished way of saying that he must be killed. He should be transmigrated into another body. That's how we understood. So you know where we stand now. Where we stand. This is there. I read this. That I was shocked when I read that. A devotee is saying that another person who was giving trouble, he says, he used a spiritual terminology to say that. He says he should be transmigrated into another body, he says. Can you imagine that? So these are the people who are inquiring about the absolute truth. So what will happen? So, and he was transmigrated later. That also you know, history says. So this is how it is. So samsaram or transmigration, when it comes to us, we understand it like this. We decide who should be transmigrated to which body. But sages were frightened that this transmigration was a fearful thing for them. I have to leave this body, accept another body. That's such a conviction inside that I have to take birth again. I have to go through this whole material existence again. He's frightening for them. And that is why Sudha Goswami says to them, yet because you are inquiring about the soul, inquiring about your spiritual existence, yet Vasudeve Akhila Lokanathe, use the word Vasudeve here. Look at that. Vasudeve means one who lives within everything. That is also meaning of Vasudev. Vasudev is one, Vas means to live in everything. Akhila Lokanathe, who is present in everything, Vasudeva. He is Vasudeva, Krishna. Because you are inquiring about him, Kurvandi sarvalpagam atma bhavam, because you know that it is him who is present as the soul in everyone, sarvalpagam, in all living entities, in the form of the soul, atma bhavam. Kurvandi sarvalpagam atma bhavam na yatra bhuyaha parivarta ugraha. So that will come to a stop if inquiry has started towards that. It will come, that I can tell you, he says. Sudha Goswami says to them that it will not happen again. So this samsaram or material existence or cycle of birth and death or transmigration of the soul will not happen to that person who have started the inquiry of the soul. Inquiry about soul or self-realization or Vasudeva or Krishna, in other words. So this was spoken in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very beginning of Bhagavatam itself, this was spoken by Suta Goswami. Just to tell us that self-realization takes us to immortality. In other words, self-realization takes us to immortality. In our agenda, in spiritual life, immortality is not the equation, not in the equation. What we are concerned about is somehow we have to get through this life without too much trouble. So accordingly, Krishna supplies what we need in that way. But the sages who were in Naimisharanyam, their concern was about transmigration of the soul, not about the maintaining the body in this world. That was not their consideration. That is what it meant. Sarvalpana Atma Bhavam. That means Sarvalpana Bhavam has come to them. That is what it means. Sarvalpana Bhavam. Sarvalpana Bhavam is this, what we spoke about before, that Sarvabhuta Hridayam, that everywhere Krishna is present in every living entity. So, once we have known that, Sarvalpana Bhavam means that presence of the soul in everyone. Or in other words, you have touched that truth that Krishna is present in every living entity. If you have touched that truth, then it is immediately, you can see that it is within that truth, all this creation is maintained. That realization, in other words, the sages in the Naimisharanyam, they were already in a very advanced state. It is after that they are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, isn't it? They have Naimisharanyam sages, they were performing Sahasra Samamasada, it says in the Bhagavatam. 1,000 years, a sacrifice which is known as 1,000 years lasting, they were performing that there, the sacrifice. Sahasra Samamasada. And in that sacrifice, this was going on for a long period of time before Suda Goswami came there to Naimisharanyam. Suda Goswami, after leaving Sukadeva Goswami, has come to Naimisharanyam. Isn't it? So when he came to Naimisharanyam, this 1,000-year-long sacrifice was going on there. Many years have gone already passed through. So when Suta Goswami arrived there, all the sages in the Naimisharanyam received him in a very dignified way, telling him that, how long have you been waiting for you to come? When Suta Goswami heard that, he felt extremely happy that they were waiting for me to come. When he said that, when he heard that, he immediately thought, how did they come to know that I'm going to come here? This is only due to that Sudev Goswami there sitting in and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? When he spoke, he said, if you want to hear Bhagavatam again, you go to Naimisharanyam, Sudha Goswami will talk Srimad Bhagavatam there again. In other words, all these things were known to Sudev Goswami prior to everything happening, that this is all going to happen. This is all going to happen. That is why Sarvabhuta Hridayam, you know, present in all. And Sukadeva Goswami has forced these people, these sages who are present there, to ask this question through Shaunaga Rishi to Suda Goswami. And that really put Suda Goswami, could not say anything, because he was so impressed by their welcome. Normally they could have said to Suda Goswami, good, you have come, wait for a few days, we'll arrange, put the table, chair, everything for you, and you can start talking Bhagavatam after that. Instead, the welcome was such, how the long time we have been waiting for you. In other words, within the heart of the sages present there, Sukadeva Goswami has inspired them to know why already they were also coming to that state, Sarvabhuta Hridayam. In other words, that contact with Sukadeva Goswami, and from inside they are asking this, Sarvabhudalpaka Lokanadha Akhila Lokanadha Yad Vasudeve. He says here, he said, Akhila Lokanadha. They are fully conscious of everything, that Suta Goswami will come, Suta Goswami will speak Srimad Bhagavatam to us. These sages who are present there, they were not ordinary people. Most of them were very, very, due to their austerities and penances, they were so elevated. Particularly that head, Shaunaga Rishi. Shaunaga Rishi, if you see the books what he has written, Shaunaga Shiksha, there is a book what Shaunaga Rishi has written, and that is a commentary on the Rigvedam, particularly about the grammatical side of Rigvedam. Very complex subjects, they could write books about that. Most of the sages were present there. So here, if you can see here, that Tasmin Brahmani Adhidiye Kevale Paramalmani, if you look into the fourth canto, that in Dakshayagam, when Daksha was killed, in that situation also, Tasmin Brahmani Adidiye Kevale Paramatmani. That they were fixed in that. We look into that fourth canto, seventh chapter. Tasmin Brahmanya Dudiye, Kevale Paramatmani, Brahmarudrauja Bhudani, Bhede Atyanu Pashyati. This is after Daksha went through all that, Daksha sacrifice, where Daksha's head was taken out and goat's head was put on, and all so many unfortunate things happened there. And then eventually Krishna appeared, and when Krishna appeared, Daksha's sacrifice has to be completed. So Krishna told that the sacrifice must be completed. Vishnu form he came and he spoke about that. And those who are present there, they all glorified Vishnu at that time. Vidyadharas and the Lord Shiva was present there. And Sadasyas, Rudra, Bhrigu, Brahma, Indra, and all of them, they spoke about that. And at the very end of that, Krishna was talking to them. Krishna was talking to them, why all these things have happened. He was mentioning that. Dakshyagam was a disaster, wasn't it, for Daksha? That you know. Dakshyagam in the fourth canto, you will see there, that Daksha offended Lord Shiva. The result was that Shiva lost Sri Parvati. That was the greatest disaster in that, isn't it? If you look at Sri Parvati's words there, that this body, I got it from you, he says to his father. I don't need it from you anymore, because if I keep this body, what I have got from you, if at some point my husband, Shiva, calls me Dakshayani, I will be a bodily identification for me. I don't want to identify with you anymore. She sat there, and in the power of yoga, she burned her body into ashes and left that body. In the Bhagavatam, when you read that after this incident, Sri Parvati left the world. And when Sri Parvati lost her bodily existence here, Shiva got upset. And the result was that he sent Virabhadra to finish the sacrifice, isn't it? He came and destroyed the whole thing. Nobody could do anything. Bhrigu lost his beard, and so many others lost their teeth. Pusha lost their teeth. And so many things happened. It was a very inauspicious thing what could happen in a sacrificial arena. And because in the sacrifice you can't use any weapon, they followed that rule. Everything was done very physically. Very physically everything was done. Without any weapon, everything was done. And the whole thing became very inauspicious at the end, that Daksha lost his head. Daksha lost his head. He had replaced with a goat's head at the end. So with the goat's head, Daksha is standing there, and and all others, some of the demigods were present there, sages were present there, they also lost different parts of their body. Some of them lost their teeth, some of them lost their beard, some of them lost their hair, all of them. And like that, in that situation. So eventually Vishnu appears there and says that the yagam sacrifice must be completed. When the sacrifice was completed, Krishna spoke a few words after that to all those who are present there. He says, Aham Brahmaja Sharvascha Jagada Karanam Param Almeshara Ubadrashta Swayamdrik Visheshana. That, remember this, that he says, this whole manifestation of this world, the cause behind it is me. And in three different forms, I'm operating in this world, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. Those three are me, but they are in these three dresses. Based on the three modes, I operate through them. Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Almamayam samavishya soham gunamayim dvija srajan rakshan haran vishwam jadre samyam kriyojidam. With the help of Yogamaya, who has under her control the three modes of material nature, utilizing that, I continue to create, I continue to maintain, and I continue to destroy everything. And accordingly, to perform those activities, I take these three forms of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. And then he says, Tasmin Brahmanya Dvidiye Kevale Paramatmani Brahmarudraujabhudani Vede Ajyonupashyadim. Then he says here, it is one person who is present in everything. That is the soul, me, Krishna. Krishna is present. But ignorant people, he says, Kevalam Vede Ajyonupashyadi. Ajnya means ignorance. Ajyonupashyadi. What does he say? They see the differences as Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, like that. Instead of seeing me, who is present in everyone. That I am the Paramatma, soul in everyone. And in me, they are seeing these differences as Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu and other forms. Tasmin Brahman Adhidiye Kevale Paramatmani Brahmam Rudrauja Bhudani Bhede Ajnyonu Pashyadi. Only Ajnada or ignorance is the cause behind it. Krishna says like that to them. So, we give up all these different, designations to them, but you will see here, all these living entities, what we also given different designations and titles in this world, they are also present in that bodham, in that awareness. So, you can see, when we talk about awareness, it is in that awareness all living entities are existing, isn't it? Bodham. If the awareness was not there, it cannot happen. That is the most important thing. If the awareness is not there, all these different forms, what we see in this creation, in the world, doesn't exist. That is the point there to recognize. Krishna says here, that the the awareness is representing the presence of the soul, consciousness, isn't it? We look into that 7th chapter again. We'll see there. Tasmin Brahman Adhidiya Kevale Paramatmani Brahma Rudrauja Bhudhana Bhede Ajnana Pashyadi. He says, Trayana Mega Bhavanam Yo Na Pashyada Vai Bhidam Sarva Bhudatmanam Brahman Sashandim Adigachadi. Trayanam Ega Bhavanam. Trayanam Ega Bhavanam means that Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they exist in three forms. But they are also existing due to Krishna's presence in them. They are not independent units or independent entities. In other words, when we say like this, Trayana Megha Bhavanam Yona Pashyadavai Bhidam. One who is seeing them as separate entities, he is not seeing the truth. Why? Because the soul who is present in all Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, they are not different. They are one and the same souls where it is coming from them. Sarva Bhudalpanam Brahmam. And it is the same soul who is present in all other living entities also in this creation. That soul which is present in Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva, that is the same soul present in all other living entities also. Bhagavatam is saying, one who keeps seeing this separation from the soul and identifying with the body as everything, and he will not attain peace at any time, because one who does not see the difference, he will get that state of realization very quickly. That's why he says here, Sarva Bhudatmanam Brahman Sa Shandim Adigachadi. Here you can see the word used is Shandi. Didn't talk about going to spiritual world or anything. Sa Shandim Adigachadi. In other words, self-realization brings a lot of different understanding even about the Absolute Truth. When we start seeing that Krishna is present in everyone, whether it is even Brahma, Vishnu or Shiva, Krishna means the soul who is present in everybody, in every living entity, Sarva Bhudalpanam Brahmam, it is the Brahmam or the soul or Krishna who is present, Yona Vashyadavai Bhidam, without seeing any difference, such a person, Sashandim Adigachadi, he says there. such a person will reach the state of Shanti. So, all living entities are existing in their body because of the awareness behind it. Isn't it? Awareness means that avabhodam or bhodam or consciousness within. And and only truth is that awareness. Awareness is the only truth. Nothing else is the truth. Body is not the truth. Body is not the truth. So when we go after the form, we will get to this understanding that body is the most important thing. Body and the form is not the important thing. The soul behind it is the most important thing. Because it is due to the presence of the soul, presence of the awareness, that all these different bodies are manifesting. All the different bodies are manifesting. This is the spiritual reality behind it. That is what it is mentioned here. That ignorant person, he gives importance to all these things. That he has no chance of knowing his own identity when he gives importance to the body. So on the other hand, and that knowledge of that is sarvajnyatvam, as mentioned here. And that is what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Krishna is saying to Arjuna that yanam deham savijnanam iham idam vakshyami asheshada yajnatva meha bhuyo nyel yadavyam avashishyade. So what is that subtle thing what Krishna is saying here? Krishna is saying to Arjuna, jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshada. In other words, when you come to experience what that awareness in which all this creation is going on, creation, maintenance, destruction, srishti, sthiti, samharam, all this is happening in the background of the soul, isn't it? Soul is the background and it is the presence of the soul, and in that awareness we are experiencing all this creation. This is a very important thing. Because if we don't see it, we don't become spiritual. Completely seeing the body and thinking that this body, that body, all body is asat. It has no reality. It manifests, it goes. It doesn't stay. But what stays is the screen behind it, is the soul. Is the soul. Only in the background of the soul, all this different creation has happened. Different living entities, birds, bees, 8.4 million different species, demigods, demons, all of them are appearing and disappearing in the background of the soul. In the background of the soul. So when we do not take that into account, when that realization don't happen, Krishna says it's ignorance. And that is still an ignorant state. To Arjuna, Krishna is saying, jnanam deham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshada. This realization will come to you after I have instructed this to you. That's what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Jnanam deham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshada yajnatval. After knowing that, neha bhoya jnadavyam avashishyade. Everything becomes a completely a different perspective from Arjuna. He's saying to Arjuna, you will notice at that time that this battlefield of Kurukshetram, where all these personalities are present, the war is going to happen. All this is happening within the background of that awareness of the soul. Awareness of the soul. It is in that background these things are appearing and disappearing. So many things are appearing and disappearing. And when you get to know that soul, then this war, battlefield of Kurukshetram, Mahabharata war, they all have no significance anymore. You will notice the reality behind that. So at that time, you will become fully knowledgeable. You will realize the truth when you realize that. And that is what is the next verse. If you look at the next verse, verse 3. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhayim yadadamabhi siddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvadam. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhayim yadadamabhi siddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvadam. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye yadadam abhisiddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvada. It's a very interesting verse. I'll tell you why it's interesting. People, you read this verse, and often you will notice, devotees also will say this. Oh, what does it mean? Out of many thousands, one may endeavor for perfection. That's the translation. And of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. This is the literary translation of the verse. It is correct in that way. But within that verse, Krishna has packed completely a different set of information there, knowledge there. What is that? Manushyanam sahasreshu. When we read that verse, we say, oh, thousands of people, among them a few will become devotees. And a few have become devotees, hardly one will come back to Godhead. That's what the verse says. Now, this Bhagavad Gita is saying like this. We are saying that everyone who is dying through us is all going back home back to Godhead. We are saying, because as far as we are concerned, we are perfect. So everything what we do must be happening. But this verse is not saying like that. The verse is saying, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye yadadam abhi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvada. That word tatvada is so powerful there. Krishna is saying, one who has understood the tattvam first he has to understand the tattvam. You can see in this world, how many people are in the spiritual life? So many different kinds of spiritual processes in this world, isn't it? So many different types of spiritual life, spiritual processes. Of course, in India, we have such a big variety to choose from. But outside also, there is plenty of opportunity. Different people bringing different spiritual understanding. So many different sadhana processes. People talk about dhyanam, yogam, japam, and on and so on and so forth. Similarly, yoga system, and similarly, so many books also, and so many different kinds of knowledge as well about self-realization, isn't it? They all don't say exactly self-realization. They all say one thing, that something what you don't have it at the moment. That's all it is. But Bhagavad Gita is very specific about it, that it is knowledge of the soul and knowledge of realizing the self alone is the truth. Bhagavad Gita is very straightforward, nothing else. Bhagavad Gita won't accept anything else. Even if somebody says that I had this realization, I had this darshanam, I had this some other thing, which is not, if it is not in line with Upanishads, Vedantam says you will reject that. You won't accept that. It has to be in the way Upanishads are talking. Upanishad Vedyam, they call it. It has to be in the line of Upanishads. Because only then it is acceptable as far as the Shruti is concerned. Because you may have different realizations in life. Sometimes we may get some darshanam. Some people say that they had a darshanam of some particular deity whom they have worshipped. That's all fine. We are not saying that it is false. What we are saying is, the truth of self-realization, what Upanishads are talking about, is the final truth. Your realization may have come and gone. Say, for example, some people will say like this, they are in spiritual life, they have practiced, they worshipped a particular deity, they had certain, darshanam, or realization in their life, right? And they have experienced something. And holding on to that, they will start saying, we have realized the truth. Upanishad says no. Upanishads will only accept if it is in line with the Upanishads realization, what Upanishads are talking about, or Bhagavad Gita is talking about, or Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about, because it's one same knowledge that is spoken in the Vedic tradition, that self-realization of the soul, as it is spoken in the Upanishads, if that realization happens, then if your realization is in line with that, it is acceptable. If it is not in line with that, even if it is Kapila Maharshi or any other great personality, we pay our respects to him, but it's not acceptable. This is the strength of the Vedantam. Vedantam's power is like that. That you may bring any realization you may have in life, because there are people like that, isn't it, who have some kind of revelations or some kind of realizations from their due to various things. You may or may not have. That depends on some people will talk like that. But they are not acceptable from the Vedic point of view. If it is not in conformity with the with the Upanishad's realization. So why we saying like that is, now if you look into this, there are people who are studying Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. There are people who are following the different yogasanam, asanam or Ashtanga yoga processes, bhakti process, and jnana margam. There are all kinds of people in this world. It's not only everybody is a devotee in this world, is it? There are a few devotees also following the bhakti process. There are many people who are following jnana margam, yoga margam, and karma margam, and all other kinds of things, and other deities whom they worship. So, people will ask this question, if so many people are practicing spiritual life, how many of them are really successful at the end? Or is it just they are passing time in this world? I think it was Mao Zedong, isn't it, who said that religion is the opium of... there was some statement like that.
Of the masses.
Of the masses, yeah. So, his understanding is like that. That he thinks that some people who have nothing else to do in this world, they get up in the morning so early. And because they don't know anything else to do on a bank holiday, they all sit together and they talk about something unknown thing. That's how he's seeing that. Now what can you say to him? He's saying like that. He sees things that's all they've got to do. They don't have anything. Actually, they're not giving any trouble to anyone. So we leave them to themselves. That's what he's seeing like that. Similarly, if you come to spiritual life also, you will see people practicing all kinds, especially in India, you will see all types of people. You go to the temples or holy places, you will notice all kinds of people. Go to Kumbh Mela, that's the best place to watch this. And you will see the variety in spiritual life, and you will be amazed by that. There, you are talking about Bhakti Yogam. Bhakti Yogam is nothing there when you go there. In Kumbh Mela, all the Naga sannyasis without their clothes, completely covered in ashes, they're walking around. And the sadhus from the Himalayas and Hrishikesh, Haridwar, they come there. And from all the different mutts and sects throughout the country, they all are assembled there. And they all come for this purpose, to participate in the Kumbh Mela. But at the same time, when you see the variety, you start wondering that we are telling everyone this is the only process. Is this the only process? That question will naturally come up inside. There's no doubt about that, isn't it? But this is where we have to understand Bhagavad Gita, because if you understand Bhagavad Gita, this confusion all will go from inside. Why it is like this? Why they are not Vaishnavas all? Why they are not all Shaivas? Why they don't put the tilak like the way I put my tilak on? Why they are not wearing the dhoti like the way I am wearing? All these questions are there behind everything. So, Krishna is saying here, Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yadati siddhaye yadadam abhisiddhanam kashchin mam veti tatvada. That is Krishna's answer. Krishna is saying here that whole lifetime you have put your effort in this, and those who have tried very hard and they left the body in this world and gone at the end. And here Krishna says manushyanam sahasreshu. Here sahasreshu means not thousand, although I don't know what the translation is, out of many thousands among men. Many thousands, sahasreshu. Literally, that's not thousands what he is referring to. That means millions. You can say hundreds of millions of people who are trying in that path. Hundreds of millions of people who are trying. Manushyanam sahasreshu. You can say tens of millions of people, hundreds of millions of people. people, among them, hundreds of millions of people, only very, very few people, only very, very few people will come to hear that there is a goal for life, which is this self-realization. Very many, very, very few people will come to know that. You can see very well. It's not difficult to understand, isn't it? How many people in this world believe that the goal of human life is self-realization? Or believe means accept it. Very, very few, isn't it? That is what Krishna is saying. That manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye. That out of millions in this world, there is very few who have come to know that there is a goal of self-realization for the life. So, only very few come to hear about that. And in that many few thousands, what Krishna is talking about, few thousands, we are all included in that. We have come to know about it. There is something there about self-realizing. That's where we are at the moment. We have come to know about that. So he says here, you have to hear, also take note of one thing. As soon as we talk about spiritual life, and if a lot of people are coming, then you have to be careful there. That's where you have to be careful. If too many people are coming to spiritual life, then also you have to be careful there. Why is it to be careful? Because everyone who has come may not have come for the spiritual life. That is the important point. So, most of the situations, ordinary people, when I say ordinary people, when you invite everyone, everybody comes, it's not that the whole world has become suddenly spiritual. That's a misunderstanding. It hasn't become spiritual. The point Krishna is making there is that the people who are coming for spiritual life and self-realization is very few. Very, very few. Because only few people have come to know that there is a thing called self-realization. First of all, there's a thing called self. And there's a thing called self-realization. That's after that. So all these things happens very rarely. Few people only it happens to. But if we start thinking everyone has taken a plate of prasadam is after self-realization, that will be misunderstanding, isn't it? A lot of places prasadam is distributed now. Now, you can't say that they have all really come to this category, what Krishna is saying. Which one? Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschidi adadasade. They have not come there yet. They have not come to that yet. We feel that by taking prasadam, eventually that desire may come to them inside. At the moment, it hasn't come yet. So, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschidi adadasade. That out of so many living entities, Krishna says here, that many thousands who had come for this thing, at least after hearing that, spirituality is only among the few. The rest will have some something time for religion, adhyalpam, what they call it, and that is only for a few people in this world. Only for a few people. In other words, among the sheep, so many sheep, there's only a few who will go out of the sheep's life. Generally, the human society is considered like a sheep, isn't it? They'll follow in their own way, they live their life in this world and disappear from the earth. But out of that, many millions, only a few will take to the spiritual life and seeking the truth. To realize the truth. There will be very few who will have that serious, genuine inquiry. So, and many who have come, they will also be in different levels of spirituality, in different stages. Will it be? It will be, wouldn't it be? It will be like that. Because everyone who has come to inquire about the truth, they will not be in the same level. They will all be at different levels. That's what Krishna is saying here. That some people would have come with the curiosity to know what is happening. Some people may think, let me spend some time and see what happens. All kinds of things. So only very few people will have this firm conviction inside, then will be very serious about the goal. That is the point here. Krishna has only one thing to say in Bhagavad Gita. If your goal is the right goal, if you have the right goal, the help will come from everywhere for reaching that goal. But what is missing in spiritual life is the goal, not the process. Process, we give importance to the process. Process is not important in spiritual life. What's important in spiritual life is the goal. That is what Krishna is coming back to that again. He says, those who have the goal proper, defined, clearly defined goal, that will be very, very few. That we know very well, isn't it? Many people come to spiritual life. But at the same time, how many of them are totally convinced about the goal and keeping the goal, they are working in the spiritual life. They are carrying out their life in this world. That's very few. Very, very few. And that's why I was saying that these sannyasis even are saying they joined institutions or some organization for spiritual life. When they came, that the goal was there. But over a period of time, they got absorbed in the activities of the institution to such an extent, they lost the goal. They became part of the institution, so deeply absorbed in that, and they started realizing that this is where all the problem starts. Because then you start thinking that I have to change the world. I have to save this world. I have been sent here for that purpose. This is on my shoulder, this responsibility of saving the world. All these thoughts coming, and then you start seeing the goal is gone. The goal is gone. Instead of realizing the truth and escaping from here, as far as Krishna is concerned, if you see, Prabhupada also mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita introduction. If one person escapes from this whole mess, he says this mission is successful. Because he knew very well that one person may not happen. Because it is so complex, this thing. People will come, they will become bring different ideas and thoughts into it. They will pollute the whole thing and make it a mass business and make it like a popular appealing to everyone in this world. And we'll start our interfaith business and we want to bring them also into it and make it a complete khichdi of all the whole thing. This is what spiritual life will turn into at the end. You can see that happening all the time, isn't it? And they will think, where is the goal in interfaith? Can you imagine? Interfaith is only, you don't fight with me, I won't fight with you. This is interfaith. Interfaith is all these things. If they hear that, they will kill me probably for saying that. But fact remains, what Krishna is saying to us is that, if you have lost the goal, your spirituality has gone from that, then it is all interfaith meetings and going to see this leader, that leader, having meetings together, sitting and they're saying we'll discuss mutually agreeing things. This will come to common denominator, or what they call it. That all kinds of things comes from that. But that's all useless. That's what Krishna is saying to us. Krishna is saying to us, don't waste your time. Rather, go and live and enjoy your life happily, rather than doing that. Because it's still worth, at least you have the satisfaction that you had a good life materially, rather than doing this. But once you come to spiritual life, Krishna's point is, very, very few people will be interested in spiritual realization, in knowing the truth. That's the first thing. And as long as that inquiry is not there, whatever sadhana you do in this world, or whatever activities you perform for in your spiritual life, it has not much significance. It has no significance. Krishna is very firm on this issue. From the second chapter, sixth chapter, seventh chapter, everywhere, Krishna is insisting that the goal is important than the process. Than the process. And spiritual life is so beautiful in that sense that when you have taken the goal as your goal in the life, the whole life changes with that. Whole life changes with that. And you can see how distraction happens. We feel that we have to change the world. Then we start thinking that it's due to me that all these things are happening. And then you start developing communities, societies, and so. And then to keep the community happy, you have to make adjustments. And so many things will happen in that way. All these things has nothing to do with spiritual life. They are all somehow or the other to keep some peace within the society. It may help. It may help in that way. But beyond than that, in self-realization is concerned, they are all not of much use. Just because you manage the society very well, or you run many ashrams and temples, doesn't mean that you are going to realize the truth. There is no more guarantee given there, anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is saying there, that manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye, yadanam abhisiddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvada. So among those who have inquired about the truth, there is very, very few people, Krishna says here, who will reach the goal at the end. Who will reach the goal at the end. So, everyone who has come to that, they will be also at different levels. And in different ways, spiritual attraction. People have different levels. So, they may not have that clear vision in them. What is the goal at the end? And in different stages. So, yadadam abhi siddhanam, Krishna is saying here, yadadam abhi siddhanam, those who have come for spiritual life, some of them will be in the nursery class, and some of them will be in the PhD level. Some of them will be in the PhD level. This difference we have to recognize in the when we are talking about spiritual life. In other words, but the good thing about that is that if you have come to spiritual life, that itself is a big thing. Because whether you enter into the first compartment or whether you enter into the last compartment in the train has started moving. You will get there eventually. So, yatadam abhi siddhanam kushi mashinvam veti tattuda. He says here, yatadam abhi manushyanam madhye sahasreshu anegeshu kaschid yadadi prayatnam karodi. So, among the thousands of people who are putting effort in that direction, yatadi prayatnam karodi, siddhaye siddhyartham, that few are having this goal, siddhyartham, for the purpose of that they get it. Tesham yatadam abhisiddhanam siddha evahi, te ye mokshaya yatande, tesham kaschid evahi mam veti tattvado yadatvar. Among them, those who have come to spiritual life, and even those who have realized there is a goal, there is very few who know what that goal is. They have goals. People have goals also in spiritual life. Those who have got goals. But among those who have got that goal, there is very few, Krishna says, the real goal, what Krishna is talking about here. That is, he says here, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadati siddhaye, yadadam abhisiddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvadam. Kaschinmam veti tatvada. So, that is that words. We will discuss that because they say more other things to say about it. We'll do that on Wednesday morning. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.